much about.
You got to put it in perspective.
Senor?
What?
They're ready for you.
Make them wait.
But I think they're really, really ready.
I said make them wait. It's good for them.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G.
Mark, so you're starting tonight, and are you a permanently on the show?
Yes.
Hey, by the way, if you see Botchko, tell him that we're so up to, over there is not anymore, right?
Oh, no! I missed it! Do it again!
Technically, he did everything he came to do. That was not an easy performance for him. He had to think through every moment, and he relied on all that training. He did it.
What did you do?
And now...
rhetorical question, I guess. No answer is forthcoming.
Our feature presentation.
Thank you. I put a lot of effort into the work. Morning, everybody. It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is an all-new program for a Wednesday morning. We're going to take your calls at 1-800-520-1067. Any topic is fine.
Your hard work pays off, though. I mean, at least there's benefits from it. Yeah. So. By the way, today is the 29th of September, right? So that means tomorrow is the 30th. And I think you all know, and we haven't really mentioned this yet, I think you all know what that means Friday is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Friday is the first day of the weekend.
Right. No. Beyond that, once September ends, Kevin, what begins?
Fall.
Okay. All right. We're getting closer now.
Correct?
All right. We're already into fall, about a couple of weeks now. But the month will change. After Thursday, it turns into a new month here on
Halloween
the Kevin
Beach. Month.
Right.
Excellent.
Okay. I'll get back to you on that one. But anyway, with that particular month comes something very special in the Kevin
Halloween.
Beach Show. We're very much looking forward to it. I'm glad Psycho Mike is here and paying attention for a change, because he is the co-host of the nationally syndicated Loveline Show. Let's talk to him real quick before we get to your calls. 1-800-520-1067. And last night I had a very special guest on it. By special, I mean crappy.
Well, Bean hates with the heat of a thousand suns this particular performer.
Yes.
More than deserved, I think, but...
I kind of agree with Kevin. I understand you not liking this man's work. That's fine. But Bean really wants, death and torture.
But slow death.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We're talking about Dane Cook.
Yes.
The quote-unquote comedian. Who is immensely popular. And by the way, that's only part of it, is that he's way more popular than his talent ought to make him. Even if he were just a moderately popular comedian, I would be stunned that anyone would pay to go see this dude, because I've never heard him say or do anything funny. So what's the deal with this guy, Michael?
I don't know. I mean, I'm not that familiar with his work, to be honest, so I think maybe I was the best guy to do this interview. But
I am familiar with it, and I think his whole deal is telling stories, and I think he tells stories pretty well.
Yeah.
Now, they're not as funny, sometimes as... Well, ever, as they, he tells a better story than there is a punchline for it. That's
right.
That's the problem.
I will say, in person, he's incredibly likable and charismatic. He seemed like a nice enough guy. No entourage. For a star of his caliber,
he's not even an entourage.
Oh,
what are you talking about?
Oh, you. But I touched on this with him. I said, look, you're probably the most popular comedian in the world, but you're also one of the most criticized.
Right.
And he said it's
both true.
And he said it's partly my fault. I think, about 4 or 5 years ago, I really just oversaturated the market with me. I was accepting every script that came my way. I was, I had just come off the heels of selling one of the biggest, most popular comedy CDs ever. And people were throwing projects my way. And I was hosting every show. And I was appearing on every other award show. And people just... Probably got
so
sick
he
of
was in too much in our faces.
And people got sick of me.
But hold on a sec. People don't get sick of you if you deliver when you do show up. Look, Ricky Gervais could be on every show I watch, and I would love him. Because
right.
he's always
true.
Funny. Dane yes. Cook was on all of them and was never funny. So that was the problem.
Right, there's that.
He's aware of the Dane Cook must die feeling here in this country, though, right?
Yeah. He certainly understands that there's a lot of – as many millions of fans he had – he has a lot of enemies too, but like I said, I think he's probably just laughing all the way to the bank. I don't think he cares. Listen, you know, he's got this huge
point.
Network of fans, millions of them, you know, on his Facebook and on his Twitter, and he's pretty accessible to them, and he just gets feedback from them and tries to stay within that network of people that are supportive of him and his work. So,
and he has never banged a woman who's not a model.
All right, I talked to him about that too. I said,
hard to blame you for that.
You are an incredibly talented, you know, womanizer, yet you've managed to stay out of the press with it pretty well. I mean, you're not that guy. You're not John Mayer or Adam Levine, you know, whose girlfriend is press worthy. And he's like, you know, if you don't take chicks to the sushi bars on Robertson here in Beverly Hills, it's pretty easy to stay out of the press.
That's what people say, yeah.
You know?
It's not that difficult to stay out of the press. But
let's give Dane Cook 30 seconds before we go to your calls.
Right. Hey, everybody, what's up? Dane Cook here in the house at the MTV Movie Awards. What's up? What's up? Hey, you know what I hate? When you eat an ice cream cone and it's all, like, cold, and you're like, and you're like, why didn't you warn me that's so cold? And he's like, it's ice cream, dude. And you're like, oh, man, but chicks don't do that because they use a spoon. Ah, what's up? Sufi. Boom. MySpace.
I was wrong. He's really funny. 1-800-520-1067. That's the number for Kevin DeBean's What to Do Nephew. Hit it, Steve.
We're sorry. You must first dial a 0 or 1.
What it do, what it do, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
So, what it do.
What it do, nephew.
Those cars just turn left and keep on going. I'm talking about the Auto Club Speedway, which is where the Pepsi Max 400 is going to be happening a week from Sunday, October 10th. Big, big names, including Tony Stewart, Jimmy Johnson, Dale Earnhardt Jr., and more. That's your prize for getting on the air with us for Kevin DeBean's What to Do Nephew. Why don't we start with Tom, who is calling about Dane Cook, and then we'll move on to another topic.
Hey, Tom.
What did you do?
What did you do?
Hey, guys. Hey, Hotspot. Hey.
That's right. Hotspot.
I forgot about that.
I like
that's
that.
Awesome.
I went with a friend to the Dane Cook Show, and, you know, you're right, Bean. He makes Ellen DeGeneres funnier.
When did you go?
About 3 months ago.
Okay, so this year.
Oh, very, right.
And you're sitting there, and you're looking at him talking, and he's, if you had the sound down, you would think this guy is doing a comedy show. He's, everything about what he's doing on stage is there, except for the funny, right?
I thought he was a warm-up guy. It didn't make sense to me. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I almost fell asleep a couple times.
Now, clearly, you weren't the Dane Cook fan if you went. Was the person that was the fan that dragged you there, was he or she happy with the show?
She was laughing her ass off.
Really?
Oh, interesting. Yeah. Maybe because she thinks he's hot.
I don't know.
She's thinking, I'm going to leave. I'm going to leave Tom.
You know, he's so hysterical in his delivery. I find it very unsettling. He doesn't seem comfortable.
It doesn't bug me. Like, I don't. He's okay.
Yeah.
I was thinking about that. You know how you said, Bean, maybe she thought he was hot. I think a lot of other comedians hate on him, too, because he's not a gargoyle.
Yeah.
You know, many male comedians are, you know.
Right.
Yeah, because most people who get into comedy, it's because they're born and they look like Patton Oswalt.
Right.
You know?
Nice.
No, I'm saying, look, Patton's one of the funniest guys in the world, but that's the truth. I mean, you look at a guy like Dane Cook, and I can see why a guy like Patton Oswalt would hate on him.
It's the same with radio. Same thing.
Yeah, it's true.
Absolutely.
If we could do TV, you think we wouldn't?
Thank you for the call, Tom. Let's try Boris, line one. Hey, Boris. Thanks for calling the Kevin and Bean Show. What'd it do?
What it do?
What it do?
Baby boo.
Hello.
Okay, so I get tickets for Muse on Saturday.
Yep.
All excited. I call my buddy up.
This past Saturday.
Muse tickets.
Yeah.
We show up. We go to the door. They scan them. They're fake.
Oh, dude. So tell me where you went to buy them. Was it a Craigslist thing or what?
It was a Craigslist thing.
Wait a minute. Craigslist can be not reliable? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, apparently. Apparently.
Wow. How much did you pay for it?
It wasn't that bad. I paid $40 a piece.
Well, considering you didn't get into the concert, it was bad, but it wasn't as bad as it could have been.
We turned around and we bought a second pair of tickets that worked, and we went in the concert.
Oh, good.
Oh, good for you.
And how unbelievable was that band?
They are great.
I saw them on Sunday night, and I got to tell you, in my top five shows I've ever seen.
Wow.
Just amazing.
Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, not that I'm suggesting anyone do that, but that's a fantastic way to make a ton of money is to print up a bunch of fake tickets for a show like Muse that you know is going to be hot, go on Craigslist, and just meet people all over town and take their money. They can't contact you again. They have no idea where you are, who you are. and you're done. I mean, that's a win. That's
a win.
So, B, you're saying that you want more people to do that so Boris shows up and can't get in.
Absolutely. As long as you can find suckers like Boris out there who are willing to roll the dice and take a chance, sure, why not?
You know the you know the stage setup, Boris, where they had those giant curtains that fell on the three pillars?
Right.
On Sunday night, the bassist pillar, the curtain wouldn't come down. So the other two guys are playing, and the bassist is still standing there, and the curtain's still up, and the guys are in the bottom, they're pulling on it, and they get it like halfway down. It took them like 2 minutes to get it down.
That's awesome.
It was awesome, but it was a great
show. Final
tap. It was a great show.
All right, Todd, we don't have time for your call, but hang on. We are going to give you the Auto Club Speedway ticket, so thanks a lot for calling.
Wow, I love that. He's calling about baseball. We're going to just blow him off. Good.
Look at the clock, man.
I know. I'm looking at the clock, and I see NBA and NHL on the way. All right, let's talk about today's show, shall we?
God help me.
Omar's Glee Cap.
Yes!
Oh, is he furious? Mike, am I lying? No. Has it been a long time since you've seen Omar as mad as this?
I tried to talk to him about other stuff before the show, and he says it's just profanity and anger
rage.
Will it make him more angry that I thought it was one of the best ones they've ever done?
I told him the same thing, by the way. He wants to damn us both to hell.
Well, that's the way it goes, man. Psycho Mike turned down a threesome.
No.
No.
No?
Well,
that's what he said.
No, but I'm saying...
You're saying no to the no.
We're saying no to the no, right.
There's two possibilities. You're either not offered a threesome, or you accept it. That's it. That's the only two possibilities. There's no possibility.
Really? Regardless of who is offering?
It has to be pretty extreme.
Wow.
I mean, it's a threesome.
Okay.
So
I didn't know that was your dream.
It's every guy's dream.
Okay.
Being mentioned yesterday, it's like pizza. You have bad pizza, you go, wow, this is still good because it's pizza.
Exactly. What's the worst that can happen? It's just not great pizza, but it's still pizza. Same thing with a threesome.
Al Roker on the Today Show, must die. I'll tell you
why. Why are you still hating on Al?
You know, I thought it was just the Today Show because we have it on in the background occasionally. I watch it and I go, what a stupid segment. Oh, man, that makes me mad. But I realized it was Al.
So I got it is Al Roker.
Yeah.
Okay.
I got some highlights for you. We got the little girl from Let Me In, Chloe Moretz.
Ooh, so scary.
She has to eat people. She has to suck blood. She is a vampire. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
What is she supposed to do?
Can't blame her.
You are who you are.
You have to eat people.
Oh, my God.
You know what I'm talking about. Okay. Vampires. Stop it now. DJ Pauly D from Jersey Shore has a song. And it's
good.
It's not. No, it's not good.
Oh, not
it's
good.
It's the opposite of good. So we got that. I don't know if you've heard about the death ray in Vegas. There's a swimming pool in Las Vegas where apparently all of the mirrors on the building next to it are set up just perfectly so that the sun hits the mirrors and then literally just fries people.
Oh, my God. Like a magnifying glass.
Yes. Yes.
It is. Bear in mind how hot it is in Las Vegas anyway in the summer. At the point where the ray hits you, and it's people who are laying out by the pool, it can be 20 degrees hotter than that.
Oh, wow.
I mean, it literally melts cups.
Oh, my God. Is this a new pool?
Yes. That's some good planning right there.
Oh, my God.
And the Psycho Body we have coming up on today's show as well. That's coming up in about half hour here. We will take a quick break and come back with the Showbiz Beatnik. 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ, and it is 5:55.
The Psycho Body coming up in about 10 minutes or so here on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Ralph is off filming a movie. We are filling in with the Showbiz Beat, and we'll start with... It's almost turned into a nationwide office pool among people who follow television. What is the first TV show each season to be canceled? You know, they debut, I don't know, 30 new shows or something like that over the course of a couple of weeks on the networks.
Yeah.
And there are office pools about which one is going to get canceled first.
Well, they do give them a good, sometimes one airing.
Well, the rumors have been after Fox debuted Lone Star last week that it only pulled in 4 million people, which for network television is like turning off the lights, right?
Right.
And so a lot of people were like, this is it. This is going to be the one. And they went on a big campaign and, the stars did a bunch of press and they begged people to watch it. They said, look, we're not going to survive. And then the second one only pulled in 3.1 million people, which is easily the lowest rated show on the networks. So it is the first one gone. Lone Star is gone. And what's weird, I never saw it. At least I know you saw at least some of it.
Yes.
Really good reviews on that. Critics said it was real good.
I thought it was a good show. I stopped watching because Bean told me it was probably going to be canceled. And
what?
It just, it's so sad. But I bet you that...
Oh, because you don't want to put your timing to it?
Yeah. Yes.
So, and it's an hour-long show, and it's a little complicated. And yeah, so, and I bet you that's why so many people dropped off from the first to the second was they smelled the whiff of failure. Even if they liked it.
Wow.
Why waste your time?
It
isn't
is possible.
Sad? It just snowballs
it is,
on itself.
It absolutely does. No, you're absolutely right about that. And it hurts me when, I didn't see the show, but by all accounts it was very good. It hurts me when quality projects don't get time to develop. Now, I understand that they got a network to run, they got commercials they got to sell, and maybe you just can't ever sell enough commercials if the ratings are that low. But there are so many shows that have done poorly in the ratings the first year that they've been on the air.
Yeah.
You know,
big hits,
I mean,
like Seinfeld.
Seinfeld's a perfect example of a show that, if it debuted with those numbers today, would have been canceled and would not have gone on to be one of the biggest shows on television for years.
Yeah.
So, anyway, I don't know whether that would have been the case with Lone Star or not, but it is the first one canceled. In case you're wondering what everybody else is watching, by the way, here are the top 10 TV shows for last week's week one of the new fall season.
All right.
Dancing with the Stars was number one. No surprise there. NCIS was number two. Thanks, Chief.
Yeah, Bean's dad is the only person we know that watches that.
My dad brought up to me when I saw him in Las Vegas this weekend at least three times, how come you don't watch NCIS? And then, you know, because he's old, and then like an hour later, you ever watch that NCIS? So I don't know what's going on with him. Number three was the Dancing with the Stars results show. Number four, Sunday Night Football. Number five... NCIS Los Angeles.
All right.
Wow.
It is apparently a CBS World, by the way, because that's on CBS. The Mentalist, number six on
CBS. That's a good show.
CSI, number seven on CBS.
That's a good show.
Two and a Half Men,
wow.
Number eight on CBS. Nine is 60 Minutes. Okay, that's the one I watch. That's on CBS. And then Grey's Anatomy rounds out your top 10.
No football?
I have one show in there. No,
football
he mentioned
was
football.
Number four.
Oh, football. I'm sorry, I didn't hear that.
Yeah.
Okay. Boy, just in time. Star Wars in 3D.
Come on.
In 2012.
Really?
What about that?
Star Wars is going to be in theaters in 3D. Not next year, not in 2011, but in 2012. And then it's going to be Star Wars 1, The Phantom Menace. Like, I don't know if you know, but they were released 4, 5, 6, and then 1, 2, 3.
Yes, which confused the hell out of me.
Right, so they're going to start with 1, so by the time they get to the good ones... We're all going to be old and retired.
But look, Kevin, you have a lot more experience with 3D movies than I do.
Yes.
If they're shot in 3D,
they're
like
amazing.
Avatar was, they're amazing.
Yes.
And if they're not shot in 3D and they're kind of retrofitted to sort of be fake 3D...
I don't hate it, but it's not as good.
Yeah.
That's all.
It's not as good.
I don't hate it.
So why take these movies that are so good, especially, you know, 4, 5, and 6, that are so good, and just kind of cheapen them by putting those kinds of special effects on them? Just cash grab? Is that it?
I think George Lucas wants a new generation to see them and thinks 3D will get them there. It can't be money.
There's barely been a time where Star Wars hasn't been available for people to see, though. It's not like these are lost classics that finally need to get an audience. I mean, all three of the first three movies are in the top 10 movies of all time.
But
they just re-released them within the last few years.
They're also going to release a Blu-ray version of them next year. And the same thing is true with Blu-ray that is with 3D, which is if it's not shot in high def.
Right.
It looks better than regular.
But not as good.
But it doesn't
as...
look as good.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
But so anyway, you get the first movie, The Phantom Menace, which I think was Jar Jar Binks, if I'm not mistaken.
I don't know.
I think it was.
In 2012.
Right.
And then, you know, probably a year after that, then you get number two, and then you get number three, and then finally you get A New Hope or whatever the first... You know, one that they put out.
Right,
it's
exactly.
So funny because the technology is going to get less and less as you go further into the series, since they're going to show it in that
That's
order
true.
Now.
They'll make the
That's
older
true.
Ones
weird.
Last.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, and finally from me, I've been looking for a crack in the perfection that is George Clooney. You know, for years now, every time George Clooney comes up, he does something else that's awesome. He's obviously a great-looking guy, a tremendous actor by all accounts. He's funny. He's personable.
I don't want to hear about George Clooney's crack.
He spends most of his time when he's not banging models, you know, trying to cure
save the world,
you know, the drought in Darfur. I mean, the guy just does everything. He's saving lives. I mean, every time we do a George Clooney story. Well,
that guy. What would he need him for?
Here's Cindy Adams' column in the New York Post, who says maybe this is a strike against him for you ladies, is that George Clooney was showing his supermodel girlfriend, Elizabeth Canales, around, you know, they were going around her hometown.
Have you seen her?
Yeah. She's unbelievable.
Yeah.
She's unbelievable.
Yeah.
And apparently someone came up and handed her a baby, or which she enjoyed, and then the baby was handed to Mr. Clooney, who apparently seemed quite uncomfortable with the child. It may not be a natural with children. So there it is. That guy's a hack.
He can't handle children.
He can't handle children. How you like him now, ladies?
Best actor in the world, richest.
Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. Blah, blah, blah.
Best looking guy ever.
Uncomfortable with a baby.
Hand him a baby. What does he do?
Uncomfortable with a baby. Yep.
All right,
He did not look like it was easy for him, so I'm going to say he's a dick.
I'm
all right?
Going to another of his movies.
That's right. Who needs that dude, right? See, I told you.
That guy. All right. What do you need him for?
Today's celebrity birthdays, how about actor Tom Sizemore? And I say actor, but he's probably best known for being on Celebrity Rehab because
yes.
I can't remember the last thing he was in that I liked.
It's true.
Erica Alaniak, 41 years old today, former Baywatch babe, the whitest black man in America. He has long held that honor. He is newscaster Bryant Gumbel. And today is Andrew Dice Clay's birthday. Oh. A lot of people may not remember that he was an enormously popular comedian, probably... When was his era? Was it the early 90s?
Late 80s, too.
Late 80s, early
90s? I remember that Madison Square Garden special was in, like, late 80s, and he was the biggest star on the planet. He was huge.
He was huge, yeah. And the reason I bring it up is because I was looking for an excuse to play this clip of his appearance just last year on Celebrity Apprentice. Apparently, Dice still does like Dice.
I'm the biggest stand-up comic in history. Nobody ever to this day has sold more tickets in concert than myself.
So there you go.
All right.
That's Dice. So happy birthday. You probably can't get a job today, but you are 52, and that is the Showbiz Beat. Hey, party people. Thanks a lot for tuning in. Actress Chloe Moretz. You don't know her name, but she is in the commercials that you've been seeing for that new Swedish remake, and the American version is called Let Me In, and she creepy, and she a vampire, and I can't tell whether she's 32 or 11 years old.
She's 11, I think.
Is she?
Is she
really that young?
What was the movie where she was where the chick turned out to be old? She was a midget.
Oh.
Remember that one?
The Orphan.
The Orphan. Yes.
Yeah.
That's right.
Yeah.
They adopt her as a daughter and stuff, and she turns out to be like 30.
Yeah, that was a really interesting movie to me. I really wanted to go see it, and Kevin ruined it.
I ruined it.
Ruined it again for a bunch of people.
No, who hasn't seen The Orphan?
Been 2 years. Yeah. Yeah, come on.
All right.
Well,
anyway,
little kids are creepy is all I'm saying. And she joins us in about half an hour or so here on The Kevin Beach Show. First, though, it's been a long time since we've done The Psycho Body. And the reason we do The Psycho Body is because Psycho Mike never shuts his effing mouth about health, fitness, and nutrition when we're off the air. That's all he and Lisa May ever talk about. Every day, all day.
He knows what he's talking about.
In Mike's defense, people do ask him all day as well.
Right.
But then it does take like an hour per question for his answer.
Complicated.
It is complicated.
So every once in a while, we like to bring Mike on the air because it turns out the Kevin and Bean listeners have a lot of the same questions and concerns about health and fitness and exercise as Mike does. And I think we have a specific topic that we're going to try to at least start with today, Mike, because of an experience that you had recently. Tell us about it.
Yeah, I went to get dunked, and people who are in the fitness industry know what that means. It's a
water... Is that the fitness industry or the porn industry?
Well, it could be both.
Could be both.
It's a water tank displacement method used to measure body fat, and it's the only real accurate way of doing it. And they put you in this big tank, and you get dunked underwater.
I was on an airplane, and I picked up a magazine, and in it, it had a scale on it. And you stand on the scale, and it measures your body fat.
Well, that seems reasonable.
No.
Isn't there also something that they have that they just kind of clamps onto you know, the fat on your stomach or something like that?
They're called calipers. And look, it's a good way to get a rough estimate, but it's not very exact.
Not
because, you know... Where you pinch, exactly where you pinch, and how much you grab each time you do it, it can vary.
All right, let me ask this question before we move on. All of us should have done that test. Bean, me, Omar, Dave, everyone that works here, except for the girls who are all perfect. We should have done that test. However, why are you doing it?
I think
you don't need to do that test. You know your body fat is pretty reasonable or good.
Sure. I mean, look.
Is it just to show off?
I'd be an idiot.
Yes.
No.
Yes.
No, it's not.
Mike is like a guy who walks around telling everybody what his SAT scores are.
Oh, no.
No, I had to pry it out of him.
Yeah. No, because you look at him and he's in great shape.
If I was that guy, I'd walk around with my shirt off all the time. And we've discussed that I don't.
You won't do it.
Well, you're mentally. mentally unstable.
Okay. But no, but it's if you do put a lot of effort into your body, which I do, you kind of want to know if you're making progress or declining,
right.
And that's the best way to do it.
Okay.
And there's a lot of misconceptions out there about losing body fat and maintaining a low body fat level, and also people get confused with the idea of weight loss as opposed to body fat loss, which right. is what I think everybody's shooting for, is the idea of losing body fat and having a better looking body. And weight loss isn't always,
right. You can still be out
congruent.
Of shape.
It is, a lot of times people, especially women out there who are so obsessive about weight loss, end up making themselves just smaller fat people.
Yeah, I've heard a lot about fat thin people.
Well,
yeah,
smaller fat people is better than bigger fat people. I mean, at least to because not healthy, but because that's other people look at you and you go, hey, they're smaller.
Well, no? You think that, but until you put that bathing suit on or something like that and you realize, oh, I'm just as floppy and nasty, if not more so. And I've been, doing tons of cardio and starving myself.
Right.
And it's like, what for what good? And that's I think that's got to be incredibly frustrating to not only not get the results you want, but to spin your wheels too. That's so.
Mike, let's talk about percentages of body fat that are average, that are healthy, and I want to know what yours is too.
I'm not going to tell you mine, but it is under 10%. I'll tell you that, which is extremely healthy and what would be considered lean. For most.
If
part.
You had to guess,
yes.
What would beans be?
30.
Oh, mine's. I was going to say around 30. Yeah, that's my guess. I'm going for 50. So I mean, I don't look at my. I don't look at my body and go, "Wow, what a tub of lard." I look at my body and go, "I got a long way to go to get to where I want to be," which is 50.
A really good marker for men out there, the average dude, is to shoot for 15%. If 15. You can get to 15% body fat, you're healthy, you look good, and by the way, the kind of 12-15% range is more appealing to the lion's share of women than extreme leanness. The sinewy, super ripped athlete look is not as appealing to overall.
I agree.
The amount of,
in Hollywood,
yeah.
You have to have a different. You
sure.
have to be starving.
Yeah. And
what's
and,
the
you know,
what's the average?
Yeah.
What's the average for men and the average for women? Do you think?
Oh gosh, I don't know what the average for men is, but it's got to be in the 20s. And for women, just know that there's nothing you could do about it. It's part of being a female. Yours is always going to be higher than the average guy. Women biologically have higher body fat levels, and they should. Body fat serves. Metabolic functions. It serves biological functions.
To
it
a point.
Insulates your
so
joints.
So 12-15% for men. So what for women?
I would,
what
say, would you if, say? You can get, if you can get between 15 to 20 as a woman, you're looking good.
You're
pretty lean.
Doing good.
Yeah. I mean, I know women that are in the 7% ballpark, and it's unbelievable.
It's gross, right?
Their level
it's
of gross. Commitment to do that is unbelievable, and I tip my cap to them, but it
right.
is not necessarily that appealing.
When you have sex with them, you do get cut.
Yeah, you actually cut yourself. Yes.
And they have no boobs at 7%, right? They can't.
Unless they visit a very talented doctor.
Right.
Exactly, yeah. All right, so you said there are misconceptions about body fat and the way that relates to how your body looks and losing weight. What kind of, are those the kind of calls we're going to look for right now then?
Yeah, I mean, give us a call here if you have any questions on how to, or if you're any concerns on what you're doing to lose and prevent yourself from gaining body fat. Because like I said, a lot of people get mixed up with weight loss and body fat loss, and there is a lot of misinformation out there. That's
yeah.
another thing. It's like, I really feel bad for people who work hard. They do their research. They're online. They're reading magazines, whatnot. And the bottom line is, a lot of it's BS, and it's used to sell products.
Michael is an actual trainer, and yet we're going to ask you, when you call at 1-800-520-1067, to get a second opinion, mm-hmm. because we don't trust him.
But I'll tell you, if you go to the bookstore and you go to the diet section and you look at every book there, everyone has completely different ideas about what you should be doing, what you should be eating, how
yep.
much you should be exercising, what you should be doing. It's unbelievable.
And for the average person who isn't obsessive like I am and doesn't have, do research on medical levels and talk with doctors and things like that, it has got to be profoundly confusing.
Yeah.
And frustrating in the end, because you just, all you want to do is get results. And
basically,
so it's
you just try one thing and then the next thing and the
See.
Next thing.
And how big is that section at the bookstore, Lisa?
It's
massive, because
yeah.
Americans in particular are obsessed with the idea of looking better.
See, that's why I think that Bean and I have it right. We don't care if we look better.
what I mean? Like,
we accept the fact that we're hideous, and we just go, hey, let's move through life.
You guys say that.
We lose.
You guys say that, but both of you are better off than the average male. I mean, you guys look pretty
true.
Good.
Are you hitting on us?
No.
All right. 1-800-520-1067. Body fat is the topic. It's the Psycho Body. We'll take your calls next on the Kevin and Bean. 106.7 KROQ. Hey, did Dave say that Breakfast with Paramore was a year ago this week? Is that what he told us?
Yes.
Anyway, a little bit later on this morning, a live performance from K-Rock and from Paramore.
Yeah. Paramore's the name of the band. They'll be doing the live performance.
Coming up on the
Kevin
and Bean
lay
show.
Down.
What was going on that day a year ago, Kevin?
I think I was high.
Where were you? First of all, let's talk about the Afro line. 323-520-AFRO, 24 hours a day. That's the number. And I got to tell you, people love us.
They do.
Yeah, you're going to play them from here.
And I'm going to play them from here.
That's what we decided.
I thought that
That's how the whole show went.
Oh,
I was waiting for Mike.
So funny.
This is good times. Yeah. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 6:27. It is time for the Psycho Body.
Yes, it is.
That's that
tweet.
Bean. And that's not it.
Don't just get fit. Get psycho. Don't just get strong. Get psycho. Don't just get big. Get psycho. It's the Psycho Body with your host, Psycho Mike. Are you with me?
Yeah, we're with you. 1-800-520-1067, talking about body fat. Let's try, we'll go as fast as we can here, Michael, because we've got a lot of great calls. Let's start with KJ. He is on line 6 with a popular question for the Psycho Buddy. Hi, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Hi, I had a quick question for Mike. I was just wondering if programs like P90X and Insanity are the best ways to lose body fat. And if so, what about them is so good?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to sit here and say they're the best ways, but P90X, for instance, is a very good way to lose body fat because it incorporates a lot of different styles of training. And when you train your body, you got to remember your body is a comprehensive unit. And there's fast twitch fibers and slow twitch muscle fibers. And there's, you know, your hormonal system and your respiratory system. So you have to train it as a, kind of a complex unit. You can't just go and run. You can't just lift weights. You have to really understand that your body works in different ways. So P90X does that in particular. But the key is doing it. You got to really, you know, stick to it, and you got to work hard. And also, you know, most of it, when it comes down to looking lean and looking good, is diet. So I can definitely recommend those programs. I just also recommend that you really stick with them.
They have a diet with P90X, don't they?
I believe so. I mean, I haven't explored that program in particular that much, but I do know that that it is a pretty good, successful unit if you do it, if you do it well.
All right. Let's go to Lisa. Hi, Lisa.
Yeah, good morning.
Hi. You're on with Mike.
Hey. Hi, Lisa.
Hi.
I just want to know what's the best way to lose body fat if I do a lot of cardio?
To not do as much and start working in some resistance training. I mean, that's the bottom line. Women are really, really hesitant to do it because they think they're going to turn into competitive level powerlifters, and it's just
honestly,
not true.
It's a little intimidating.
Yeah, and I could see that. And one of the things I really like about, you know, CrossFit's become extremely popular. It's become this kind of like cult-like deal out now, and if you have a CrossFit gym in your neighborhood, you might want to check it out if you're a girl, because one of the things they do is they force girls to take heavy weights and put them on their back. Yeah. And that's what you have to do if you want to lose body fat, if you want to have a good, attractive physique. Don't get confused into believing that lifting weights only makes you bulky and cardio only makes you lean. It's a blend of the two, and it's probably a different blend than you might expect that really makes you have a good-looking body.
Thank you, Lisa. Let's go to Joe, who's got a question for the Psycho Body. Hi, Joe. Hello, Joe.
Oh, hey. Hey, guys. Sorry about that.
Go ahead.
Mike, quick question. I've lost 50 pounds in the past 5 months just through diet and exercise.
Nice.
And I've got another 15 that I want to lose, but I'm concerned with, is it a goal weight or should it be like a goal body fat that I'm trying to get down
to? Don't judge things on your body weight, because, for instance, most guys who are my height or 5'10" don't want to be 180 pounds. They'd probably be a little overweight that way. But I'm built differently. And everybody has their own kind of biological makeup and genetic kind of makeup. So go for how you look in the mirror. The mirror is always a better judge than the scale.
So if the 50 pounds might be enough for this guy, he might not need to lose another 15.
Right. That's very true.
I need another 15. I'm trying to get down to 6'1" and I'm 205.
Well, I was saying you in general. You personally probably need to lose 30.
Yeah, like I said, always
sounds fat.
Always look in the mirror. Force yourself to really be objective and look in the mirror and check yourself out. That's better than looking standing on the scale.
And so the scales with the body fat measurement, how off are they or can they be?
They are totally off.
Are they really?
Yeah.
They just
make it up?
Yeah, well, I don't know if they make it up. I mean, it's just that you can't just base how someone looks by knowing their measurements.
Right.
Because everybody's so different. I mean, Jessica Biel's probably 125 pounds. And if you were to take the average girl who's 5'6", 125 pounds, you'd be like, oh, I wonder what she looks like. You have a vision of what she might look like. But the fact is that she's really swole.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
So that throws things off.
And the other thing about body fat versus the actual weight is that a lot of times when you start on an exercise program, isn't it right, Mike, that you're replacing body fat with muscles? So it's not that your weight is going down that much, but your body is still getting healthier and looking better, right?
Ideally, you are. And newbies, people who are really new to getting into heavy training, have the ability to do that pretty quickly.
All right, we're running out of time, but we do have one question. I think this might be the most important question that we've ever had on the Psycho Body.
Okay.
And it's coming from Dee. Hi, Dee.
Hi, guys. Sorry, a little nervous. Okay, around the summertime, I work out like more than normally so I can look good in a bathing suit, but I lose my boobs, and I have really, really great boobs, and I want to know if there's anything that I can eat that will go straight to my boobs.
Oh, yes. There is, actually.
Yes.
It's a special milkshake.
Nope.
And
no,
you got to drink it right from a hose.
No,
it's
that
true.
Is not,
I think that is true, first
boobs
of all.
Bigger.
It's protein-based, all organic.
Right, she's losing weight, but she doesn't want to lose boobs.
Well, stop it.
No,
I mean, don't be dumb.
Stop it. Give her a good answer.
No, I mean, they look great the rest of the year.
Right.
But in the summer, it's like they're gone.
What are we going to do here, Mike?
This is important.
Listen, boobs are adipose tissue, and if you're going to lose weight overall, for the most part,
okay.
You're going to lose weight in your booty.
Right. So is there any exception? She wants to know. Any food?
Any food I can eat that will go straight to my boobs.
Yes. Biologically, your body can interpret where it wants to send the calories and amino acids, D. Be realistic.
There's a cream that you can put
on the
outside.
You think your boobs have a special stomach that sends weights right to them?
Hey, don't yell at her. This is an important question.
And she's asking it. Yeah, exactly. All right, go ahead and get the implants, D. I think that's the only answer for you. That way you can eat whatever the hell you want.
There's a cream you can put on the outside, though, right?
It is. It's a special organic cream. Right.
By the way, programming note, tomorrow on the Kevin and Bean Show, Trent Reznor stops by talking about the music that he did for The Social Network, a movie coming out this weekend. How about that? Trent Reznor in studio.
He did all the scoring music, which is cool.
Yeah. Speaking of movies, Kevin, you're just telling me during the song there, you can't wait for Let Me In. It opens up on Friday. You are a sucker for scary movies, and in particular for the vampire movies, I know. And this one looks like one of the best actors. Chloe Moretz is on the phone with us right now. She is the star of Let Me In. Chloe, welcome for your first appearance on the Kevin and Bean Show. How are you?
Hi, thank you for having me.
We are delighted to have you. You are one of those super kids that I can't believe you're only 13 years old because you seem so much older than that. Congratulations on the amazing career you're having.
Thank you so much. You know, I've just been working so hard and, you know, I have my whole family and it's really going great.
How old are you, 13?
I am. I'm 13 years old.
So I was just beginning to throw rocks at my neighbor, Robbie Joyner, at that point. I was doing nothing with my life.
Chloe is probably going to go down in history as the youngest actress to ever use the C word in a film as she played Hit Girl in Kick-Ass earlier this year. But the new one, Let Me... You have done a couple of other scary movies before. I know you were in the Amityville, for instance. Is that a genre that you like, or is it just another acting job for you?
Yeah, you know, I don't particularly look for one type genre. I really just look for the best script, the best material, what really affects me the most emotionally and will stretch my emotional boundaries. That's definitely the number one thing I look for.
Well, you're a scary,
genre.
Scary person.
You are very scary in the trailer for this movie, though. Wow. When you're doing a movie like this that's a remake of a very, very popular foreign film, I mean, were you even allowed to see the Swedish movie, the Swedish original of this, or are you too young to watch it?
I'm definitely too young to watch it. My mom and dad won't let me, because, you know, it's R-rated. They're like, yeah, no, you can't. But, you know, also I didn't want to watch it because I wanted, you know, more of my take on the character of Abby and, you know, no one else's, just my own feeling to her.
Now, it's not a surprise. I'm not giving anything away by saying that, you're a vampire.
No, we kind of got that.
Right. And I do have a clip of you talking to, I think it's your next door neighbor, the little boy.
Yes.
Seems like you like him so much, and you don't want to have to eat him, but you don't know. You need blood. You need blood to live, and he wants to know just exactly what's going on.
Are you a vampire? I need blood to live. But how old are you? Really? 12.
If
been 12 for a very long time.
See, I've been 12 for a very long
time. Creepy. That's
creepy.
I need
blood to live. What's she supposed to do, being the dude's
I know.
There?
You got to make tough choices sometimes.
She
I
needs
understand.
Blood.
Chloe, is there a lot of blood in the movie, or is this more of a psychological thriller?
It's definitely very psychological, but there is a little bit of blood when I kill people.
Sure.
Okay.
That's hard to avoid in the vampire movies.
Yeah.
Although Twilight seems to do it.
What was the most fun you had, the most fun scene you had to film in Let Me In?
Oh, all the killing scenes.
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
That's why she's hit girl. Come on.
She relates to that, B. Now, how do you do research for this? You're 12 years old. Your parents seem to, at the time, I think you were 12, your parents seem to keep a close eye on what you watch. But most vampire movies and TV shows and everything are for adults. They're not for kids. How do you learn the vampire lore?
You know, some of my favorite film is Interview with the Vampire.
All right.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, you know, I just kind of pull from all the lores. Because, you know, every kid knows, oh, vampires are fangs and they'll suck your blood. you know, you just kind of draw from that. And I talked to my brother, who's my acting coach, Trevor Moretz. And then I, you know, worked with the director and we figured out who Abby is as a vampire and what's her killing technique and such.
Very interesting. Well, listen, Chloe, I know we're almost out of time here. I have to ask, how did you get into acting? What is it that made you want to go into this when you were obviously much, much smaller than you are today?
My brother Trevor got into acting first. He got accepted to a professional performing arts high school in New York City. And basically, I fell in love with it through him. I mean, I used to run his lines with him when I was like a little bitty 6-year-old, and he was like, wow, you know, you're actually pretty good at that.
So he would bring home a script and he would go through and you would play other parts, and he said, you're actually talented.
And,
wow.
Basically, I told my mom I wanted to try it, and we tried it, and we've been working hard ever since.
It's so amazing, though, when I look at your resume and I see, you know, movies that people love, like Kick-Ass, of course, 500 Days of Summer, great movie, huge hit, Bolt, which is a really, really big hit, Diary of a Wimpy Kid this summer. I mean, you've got already more big films on your resume than lots of people who are 3-4 times your age. I mean, I guess some of that is an immense talent, and whoever's, you know, picking your scripts and the work that you choose to do, it's sure working for you.
Oh, thank you. That's courtesy to my mom, my brother.
Wow. Well, this movie looks good. I'm scared of you, and I can't wait to see it. It's called Let Me In, and it opens this Friday, October 1st.
Thank you, Chloe. We appreciate you coming on the show, okay?
It's such a pleasure.
Coming up next, right after the top of the hour here on the Kevin and Bean Show, finally the answer to the question, why does Kevin hate Al Roker, the weatherman for the Today Show? For years we've been asking him, and he said, I don't know what it is. I don't know why I hate him so much. Now, today, Kevin, you've got proof, right?
Well,
you're bringing in the evidence.
We have the Today Show on in the background sometimes, and it just drives me out of my mind. So I brought in some examples, yes.
Okay, so why Kevin hates Al Roker, straight ahead here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Ralph is on vacation this week, filling in for the Showbiz Beat this hour. It's our producer, Alex. Hey, Alex.
Good morning. I'd like to give a little disclaimer. The reason I sound like Kermit the Frog, I've got an allergy thing going on, and I am loaded on allergy meds.
Yeah.
So this is going to be a fun showbiz.
How about sharing a little bit? Come on. You can't hog all the NyQuil for yourself.
Yeah, we get a little codeine in there. It's awesome. First and foremost, I would like to hook up our audience because I'm a giver.
Mm-hmm.
And so when I feel like crap, I just want to give stuff away. Callers 1 through 5 who call into Chip and say, I love you, Chip. Get a pair of passes to the K-Rock advanced screening of Wes Craven's new suspense thriller, My Soul to Take, in theaters Friday, October 8th. Give Chip some love.
Looks good.
All right, this is one tea party I can be a part of.
All right.
I know people say, oh, they're racist, they're crazy. No. Apparently, Brad Pitt and Chris Cornell had a play date, a tea party play date.
Yeah.
Is that right?
At the Grove here in Los Angeles. It's a really cool, like, big shopping center. And there's an American Girl store where you sit with, like, dolls.
Right.
And then you actually have a tea party with your daughter and your doll.
Yes.
And apparently Chris Cornell's daughter, Tony, was turning 6. So Brad brought his 5-year-old, Zahara. So there's pictures of them with both.
Sitting there having a tea party.
Yeah.
Wow.
So take that, George Clooney.
Wow.
Principal Rooney's a perv.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Yeah.
All right.
This is like ruining my childhood. From Ferris Bueller's Day Off, the classic Principal Rooney, played by Jeffrey Jones, turned 64 years old yesterday, and happy birthday, because he pled guilty to a new charge in his ongoing sex offender case.
Yeah, he's got a lot of problems with that.
Wow, to catch a predator. He pled guilty to the charge of failing to update his sex offender registration. I mean, really, you got a lot to do. You got to go to Target. You got to remember your DMV registration. Nope. I can't keep track of it all.
Refresh my memory. What did he do that got him on the sex offender registry? I don't remember what the original case was.
In 2003, he pled no contest, which is weird, to paying a minor for the purpose of taking sexually explicit photos.
Yeah! It was just photos, though. No touchy, right?
No contest, yeah. So after he entered his guilty plea, he's been sentenced to 3 years formal probation and must complete 250 hours of community service in a roadside cleanup program.
And then he emailed,
"I want to wrestle you so freaking bad."
And that's not good.
That's not good for you. Max Weinberg is no longer a member of Team Coco.
Oh, really?
Did you guys hear this?
No. He is the band director for Conan O'Brien.
He is not returning for Conan O'Brien's TBS show, Conan. Reportedly, the longtime band leader will not be returning and following him over to TBS for his new show, Conan, which actually premieres this November. I'm very excited. Weinberg, for those of you who don't know, is also the drummer for Bruce Springsteen, you know, in his spare time.
Sure.
But he was with Conan all through his late night days and even during his ill-fated recent stint as the host of The Tonight Show. Apparently, signs were afoot that he wasn't going to be on the new Conan show when he's the only member of the band who didn't go on Conan's tour, legally prohibited from being funny on television, and he decided his own tour. So,
all right.
Good on you, Max. We still love you. So, Conan O'Brien needs a band leader. Mike, get on that.
Yeah.
I don't think he wants the music Mike does.
Transition from Melfon to the leader of the
thinking. Trent Reznor is now going to be a producer of a TV series.
Going to have him on tomorrow.
What do you know?
Very excited about that.
Senor Reznor in the house, live on our show tomorrow at 8 a.m. Apparently, it's been a rumor that's been going around for years now that Nine Inch Nails fans have been hoping is true, and we get official confirmation from Trent himself. He spoke to the LA Times this week and officially confirmed the news that he is in development of a TV series based on the 2007 Nine Inch Nails album titled Year Zero.
Year Zero.
Trent Reznor told HBO and The Times that BBC America and HBO, we are moving forward with the development of Year Zero. It is a grim sci-fi epic that I have chronicled in my music as well as in the celebrated alternate reality game, ARG. I don't know what that is, but nerds, email me and let me know. apparently, it's themed around the idea that a future America is enslaved by a government-led fundamentalist theocracy and small groups of freedom fighters rally against the system.
So it's a comedy.
Rage Against the Machine.
Yes.
Go, boy.
It's a spinoff of Jackass.
It sounds like Terminator. Anyway. So that'll be interesting. Trent Reznor, TV producer.
Yep.
And happy birthday to Les Claypool.
Yeah!
Josh Farro. Okay, Mike, you sound so special, Ed, when you do that.
He does, but Les
Little
Claypool.
Little sharp us. I know. Josh Farro from Paramore. Kevin Durant, who Dave Sanchez tells me his nickname is Durantula, but I don't know if it's because I'm loaded on meds and he's just trying to screw with me.
That's true.
And happy birthday to Ian McShane. And if you haven't seen Deadwood on HBO, go buy it on DVD. He is the scariest mofo in the whole wide world. I'm Alex. That is your show.
You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Next hour, you turned down a threesome. We're going to be looking for your calls. I can't believe Psycho Mike did that, but he'll explain why he turned down a threesome coming up. Also, Omar's Glee cap. Everybody buzzing about the Britney Spears-themed episode of last night's Glee. I've never seen Omar as outraged as he is.
I said earlier I thought it was really good, and then I went down to talk to him about a clip for the movie that we just talked to that little girl about, and he said, first of all, F you!
No, he's fired up. Yeah. He really is. Hey, do you have my favorite theme song, Why Does Kevin Hate? Do we have that standing by?
I don't think we do, actually, to be honest.
That would have been so appropriate.
It would have been good here. It would have fit.
It's a good question.
Here's the thing. We have, a lot of times we have the TV on in the studio with the sound down, obviously. And we're watching the Today Show because I'm obsessed with how bad it is. And they do features every day. And I go, how is that on TV?
Because they have 3 hours to fill,
time to fill. And we don't do they do like 2-3 cooking segments a morning.
Yeah.
And you know my hate for
cooking
segments.
That's where the cooking hate came from, I think.
Yeah. The other thing that I hate about the Today Show is the sappy music. They really, really sap it up. I mean,
they're telling a story,
and this particular one was Al Roker, and he was going back to an elementary school to show a story of hope. Okay. You know how I hate right. both. But no, I'm just kidding. But listen to, it starts with the teacher teaching, and then Al comes in with his voiceover. And how does everyone not hate Al Roker? That's my
question.
Because
he seems like a very nice guy.
We need a new jingle. Not why does Kevin hate, but why doesn't everyone else hate?
I don't get why you hate Al. Is it because he used to be fat and now he's all that? Is that
no.
part of it?
Well, no, although his head is oddly sized for his body.
It's tiny. Yeah, it's a pinhead.
He actually did look better heavy yes. than he does as a thin man. I don't know why that is.
That's not it. But this music, by the way, every time they use it, whether it's Access Hollywood or anybody that's doing a sappy story, they always use this music. And it just drives me out of my mind. But listen to Al.
Basically, we're looking at pre-Columbian Native American tribes.
History is the focus of today's lesson in Mr. Smith's fifth grade class, and 10-year-old Adam Engelman is eager to participate. Melissa Kistler is the principal at Thomas Jefferson Elementary.
The principal at Thomas Jefferson Elementary.
What is the story he's doing?
The principal is here, and this is a little kid who does...
they're doing a story on a kid that has ADHD, and they identified it and gave him medicine.
Okay.
That's this whole story.
And then what?
What do you mean, and then what? That's it. That's
where
it.
She well, oversees nearly 600 children.
What's Thomas Jefferson School like? Is it a good school?
Now, here's my favorite thing on any newscast, any news show, any Today Show, any show. Interviewing kids goes poorly.
Yes.
Kids are not good interviews. Just
you know why? Because they don't know anything.
Because they're kids. So
they're the wrong people to go to right. for information that adults find interesting.
So Al's doing a story on a school where he's focusing on the teachers and the faculty and the parents. So he asked the kids, hoping for any answer like that, and the kid doesn't have that answer.
Yeah, it's a really good school.
Why do you think?
Because I got to meet a lot of kids, and I got to hang out with them, and they became my friends.
All right, that wasn't the answer he was looking for.
That's
so he asked
different
about,
than any other school.
He asked about three follow-ups on that, and then the music comes back.
We figured out that Adam had ADHD.
After doing a lot of research, Adam's parents put Adam on medication to help him stay focused.
Identity property is a one.
So that's the kid. On a side note, that's Bart Simpson, right?
He does sound like Bart him. Simpson, yeah.
So here's Bart Simpson, and then here's the kid.
It's not for me. I'm not a girl like you.
Identity property is a one.
Come on, Bart!
Yeah, pretty close.
He went to Springfield Elementary. Who knew? He didn't even mention that. All right, so that's that. And then he's talking about homework and how... And it's so sappy. Here's sappy is what I don't like. And this is what he's talking about when the mom drops off the kid at school.
Today, Adam breezes through his homework assignments.
It's across the street.
Now, when Julie drops Adam off at school, it's a lot easier to let go. Adam is walking tall on his own.
Come on now with that. Come on.
And the lesson is more drugs for your kids.
Come on.
Yeah. I don't get why that's the segment on the Today Show.
It was a 10-minute segment that I had to cut down and cut down and cut down and cut down.
That's not why I would turn that show on. I would turn that show on to hear a discussion about what's going on.
It's
you know,
a lot easier to let go.
That's you. So then they do, I don't know, they always do these segments where they have interesting gifts. And this woman comes on with a giant marshmallow pie instead of a cake, instead of a birthday cake. And Al just won't even let her get it out. He's so excited about this because Al loves food.
And
this is the world's biggest marshmallow?
2 pounds.
Wow.
It ships $23.
All right, now. Here's Al Roker from the Today Show passing off an old joke as his own.
And this is just a great, fun gift, and it's an alternative to a cake for your kid's party.
You know, I had a dream last night that I ate the world's largest marshmallow. When I woke up, my pillow was gone.
And they laughed
at
that.
And then someone slapped the table,
I
heard.
They laugh and laugh and laugh and laugh. Oh, and Al didn't go, I heard a joke once or anything. That was his own. Yeah. He was being witty. Then they featured a t-shirt that has a can opener on it. Because interesting gifts for people. What if you have a beer and you don't have a can opener? They put it on the shirt. Wacky.
Okay.
And if you're in the market for a t-shirt that...
Listen to how much they laugh.
That also opens your beer. Talk about a turn or other fun gifts for the hard-to-please person.
Okay.
Your life.
Okay.
Check out some great new products.
Come on now. Is that outrageous?
Yeah.
No, it's not.
Can opener on a shirt.
They don't have much money in their lives.
Thank you. So then they start doing a cooking segment about cobbler, and they start arguing. And this poor woman, this co-host, had the unfortunate job of hosting it with Al and asked him a question. And she hates Al Roker as much as I do, by the way. You can tell, yeah.
I love cobbler. I mean, in fact, I like the cobbler part more than
I'm curious what the difference is between cobbler and pie. That's one of my questions.
One has a crust, the other doesn't.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, there you have it. And a double dose of, I didn't know it, cooking today. We're also going to show you how to make a quick version of a classic Mexican dish, chicken mole. But first, Al, who knows all things, has
a I don't know all things, but I do know about a pie's got a crust. I mean, that's.
Well, no, pie has a crust at bottom.
A cobbler. A cobbler does not have a crust.
All right, so she's tired of him. She hates him.
Don't mock me, Al, because so you're a pig.
So then she goes over to the chef, and she asks him, and the chef backs her.
There was a debate earlier. Mm-hmm. What's the difference between a pie and a cobbler? Al said crust.
Right, and I think I agree with you, because...
Oh, what? You agree?
I agree with you, definitely.
Okay, what? I'm right.
So that the pie cobbler thing went on for, I don't know, an hour.
That's not important. Good television.
And then... My favorite thing. They throw it out to the loser. Al goes out on the street, and those losers that plan their vacation around going to New York and standing outside the Today Show to get interviewed, and these giant women that have these Christmas sweaters on, standing in the rain, and they have the reindeer antlers, you know, those fake reindeer antlers. Yes. And they toss it out to Al, and he does the interview with them, and he's so witty and funny.
Hey, thanks a lot, Al. We got our friends out here raining. It doesn't stop. We got some mooses from Minnesota.
Yes.
My golly. And you got your Christmas ornaments and everything.
Oh, yeah, we're ready.
You're ready. Well, it's like mooseltoe all over again.
All right.
No.
You all hate him.
No.
He needs to be put down.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you.
That is the latest from Linkin Park, by the way, called Waiting for the End, from their recent number one album, A Thousand Suns. Offspring and Slightly Stupid, straight ahead here on the Kevin Amin Show right now. Oh, and the new one from DJ Pauly D, because I know you've been waiting for that. The new rap from the Jersey Shore cast members coming up in about 10 minutes. First, though, the Kevin Amin Afro line is on the air, 323-520-AFRO. It's our voicemail. You leave us a message 24 hours a day. We play it back. What are folks calling about today?
Well, the people love us.
Asshole.
Now, we always say this, we need some context, because that could be 100 things.
Sure.
We do a lot of hateable stuff. You gotta narrow it down for us. That way, it's regular hate. What are you gonna do? People are getting getting excited about this Friday.
Oh, it's almost no fun. October? Yes. With no doo-doo on it either. No fun.
Thank
Woo!
God. I'm a little bit worried about when Melfon, the band, gets back together on Friday morning and strikes up for the first time, because we haven't played together since, you know, the end of last year's October.
And it was ugly. The breakup was ugly. So.
I know it was. I know there's a lot of bad blood in the room. We're just going to have to leave our egos and our...
Time out. You guys all shut up, okay? The OG members of Melfon, the founding members, Ralph and I, we're not worried, okay? We've added Chip. She's an amazing bass player. What I'm concerned about is that OG member Ralph Garman won't be here this Friday.
Right. Okay. But Dave is credible filling in on the drums.
Is he? Is Sanchez credible?
He's not Travis Barker or anything, but he can certainly keep a beat.
He would be the opposite of Travis
Barker. Oh, we'll see.
Yeah. All right. Sharktopus was on this past Saturday night.
Ralph, you suck. I hate your guts. I just started watching Sharktopus, and I can already tell I'm going to want these 2 hours of my life back.
I would like to stand up for my man Ralph and say he was the only one, it looked like to me, that got it.
Yeah.
Everybody else seemed super serious about it.
I thought he was terrific in Sharktopus, and if you didn't get a chance to hear it, let me just play the death scene where Ralph as Captain Jack is standing out on the top of a boat and Sharktopus comes up out of the water and takes him away. Listen up.
Trust me, okay? There is no such thing as a Sharktopus.
Regret the time you gave that movie. Come on.
Waving around his arms and everything. It's so realistic.
And that chick, come on with
well,
that.
Well, there's
now.
That.
Come on. This is some Psycho Mike love, and he's going to get excited when he hears this.
I love a man named Psycho. Deep inside he knows he's gay. I love a man named Psycho. With him I'd like to play. I would hug him and kiss him and caress his... And take him on a trip down under to a place they call Australia!
Ooh. Yeah.
Okay.
So that happened.
That's fantastic. Mike. Not, we got plans after the show.
Not everyone loves the same TV shows we do.
I hate Glee. I hate Glee. I hate every douchebag in Glee.
By the way, you might not recognize this for a while, but I believe he's parodying Queen's Bohemian Rhapsody.
Oh.
No.
Yes, listen.
Oh, not my so God, far. Why do you hate Glee? I hate Glee. Oh, my God, why do you hate Glee? I hate Glee. Oh, my God, I hate Glee. Oh, my God, I hate Glee. I hate Glee.
If he is, he's doing it poorly.
Right. No, no doubt about that. Omar does our Glee cap, and he hates the show. That's why we made him watch it. And I think that helps pour on the hate. But he did a song, and he did it right.
I want to take a on Glee so freaking bad. Little precious, I really want to stab. I want it to be over and off of my TV. This show's really awful and crappy.
Take it easy.
It gives me cancer of the eyes. Yeah. I hate the show Glee. I despise. Oh, I swear. I hate white men out for teacher guys' hair. This show couldn't be crappier. Yeah, I would have to kill that dude, but cuz he's such a dunk. All the douchey Glee kids, they're on Omar's hit list. I'm talking Michael Jackson saying, this is it. And everybody's gonna die when I take my stupid big nose and the gay kid. And then that dumb jock Finn, little Stephen Hawking, all dead. Now you can stop believing. I think I'll take a gun and shoot all the cheery uh-ohs. Now I'm gonna poison little Margaret Cho-Cho. Ah, damn it. I can't believe Glee's such a hit. And damn sure sucks a lot more than Journey did. Yeah, go number two on the show is stupid. All throughout the show they just sing really gay music. Once it give ya, once it give ya. It gives me cancer of the eyes. Yeah, the show sucks. I hate the show, Glee. I despise. Oh, I swear. I hate white men out for teacher guys' hair. The show couldn't be crappier. Blows it, blows. The show couldn't be crappier.
Like, I'm not vouching for that rhyme. Crappier.
Take a on Glee so freaking bad.
So there you go. That's Omar. And he's going to give us a Glee cap.
Yay!
Next hour.
Trent Reznor, formerly of Nine Inch Nails, joins us on the Kevin and Bean Show here tomorrow. Also, Joshua Jackson from Fringe, Dr. Drew on the show tomorrow. We got Mr. Movie Phone later in the week, Petros Papadakis, comedian Kevin Nealon, so much more. So don't judge the program by today's show. I guess that's what I'm saying. Is there a good thing still to come?
We do have new Trent Reznor music.
This is DJ Paulie D.
Oh, I'm sorry. That's not Trent Reznor
not
at all.
At
that's
all.
Paulie D from the Jersey Shore. That's completely different.
DJ Paulie D has a song. By the way, and it's being played on radio stations for reels.
Oh, no.
Oh,
yes.
No.
Yes. This is the problem.
Yes, okay. It is.
It is the problem. I have to ask because this is Bean, and I don't watch Jersey Shore, okay?
You're
I can't stomach them. I hate
well,
them all.
Of course.
All
that's why
so
people
much.
Watch it, though. Suck, people watch it for the same reason. They hate them.
The extent of my support for Jersey Shore will be I will look at JWoww if she poses naked for Playboy. That's what I'm willing to do. Okay, but beyond that, I'm not willing to do anything else. I'm not going to buy any of the merchandise or anything like that or get the T-shirt.
Wait, so you don't know their super creative Beat That Beat Up dance that they started
well,
last season?
That was my question I was going to ask. Tell me about Paulie D. Is he a DJ? Does he play a musician on the show?
He is a DJ. Like, he goes to clubs and stuff. But
okay.
Was he a DJ before this all started?
Know, was he?
He was.
Yeah, I remember in the first episode of the first season, he brought his DJ equipment in, and they were like, oh, look at your DJ equipment.
Okay.
It's got Italian flags on it.
So explain to us the dance, when they pound on the floor, and then they...
Yeah, like, you know, in a lot of bad house music, it starts with, like, the breakdown where the drums will build up to the crescendo.
Mm-hmm.
Well, they'll go down on the ground, and they'll start beating up the floor, and as the music... increases
right.
in momentum, they stand up and beat the beat up, as I call it, with their fists.
You know what I mean?
Then they start fist pumping in the air. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So DJ
great.
Paulie D has a song called Beat That Beat Up.
Okay.
And you're supposed to do the dance to it as well, and here's what that sounds like.
This is DJ Paulie D. Being a Guido's a way of life.
I don't represent all Italians, I represent myself. I started this whole GTL gym tan and laundry. You gotta stay fresh today.
It's time to
beat that beat up.
Yo, how come every time I'm DJing, there'll be a hot-ass girl, but she got an ugly-ass friend? Come on, man. I ain't got no time for that. I'm only dealing with nines and tens.
I'm only dealing with nines and tens.
Oh, shut up.
Not if,
seriously.
Not if the show's any indication.
No, you're so right.
These guys all claim nines and tens.
I know threes and fours. So if you're trying to get into my DJ booth, and you're trying to come home with me, DJ Paulie D, then you and your friends better come correct.
This guy's cool. I mean, because he's telling girls they better come correct.
Correct.
Right.
Yeah.
If you want to go home with him.
There'll be no grenades tonight.
It's time
to beat that beat up. Beat that beat up. Beat that beat up. Beat that beat up.
It's time
to
break it down.
By the way, you do have to stay fresh to death. I mean, I think that's
you
good
can't
advice.
Argue that.
That's good advice, right?
We all know that.
And wasn't that a popular expression about 3 years
Dude,
ago, by the way?
But we're still down with staying fresh to death, because I think we're fresh
Are
to
we?
Death.
Okay.
No, maybe.
I started this whole GTL.
By the way, you're too happy about that. I started this whole GTL thing. GTL is stupid.
Yeah.
It is stupid.
Jim Cannon Laundry.
Bring it back in.
Molly D is pumping all night long. Where are my ladies at? Make some noise. Where are my fellas at? I can't forget my dogs. Make some noise.
Come on, dogs. Make some noise.
When I'm in your city and you're rocking with DJ Paulie D.
Not gonna happen.
That beat hit you. You need to fight back.
Now here's where he describes the dance.
So what I need you to do right now is get down real low and tap that ground. Keep hitting it. Keep hitting it. Now work your way up. Fight that beat. Fight that beat. Now pump.
You fight that beat. I don't have to fight that beat.
Your fist.
It's time to
beat that beat up.
That's enough.
It's time.
Yeah.
So
that's
that song.
The music, I don't want to say it's terrible. I mean, it's very similar to a lot of other kinds of songs in that genre.
You know what it sounds like to me? It sounds like to me somebody took his voice, a decent producer, and made a song out of it. You know what I mean? Like, it
just
wasn't
put this
him.
All together?
Yeah,
right.
Like, he just came up with a pretty decent kind of house bed that's kind of when right. you're you know
kind of generic
it, yeah it's generic and when you're in the club and you know beans on E or whatever it is he does you know this kind of music whatever but then Paulie D comes in you go oh wow
well Paulie D puts a stink all over because basically all he's doing is reciting catchphrases
Correct.
From the show and talking about gym and tan and laundry and grenades
no
and
grenades.
All that stuff it's so stupid you know what I mean I don't know I think
it's
this,
a hit I like
this
it.
List this lister has the right idea
Kevin and Bean stop it
exactly
it's not us it's DJ Paulie D we're just showing you,
you
what's going
him,
on
man.
That's all you can't stop
no.
that you can't stop GTL
thanks for listening to the Kevin and Bean show about 10 minutes or so from now just after the top of the hour Psycho Mike will explain to us why he fails as a man and as a human for having the opportunity to be in a threesome and turning it down and then we're going to be taking your stories on the same topic coming up here on the Kevin and Bean show first though Ralph is off this week we are filling in with the showbiz news we didn't do this story yesterday because I didn't care that a former Hell's Kitchen contestant was found dead in the river. I guess they think he jumped off the George Washington Bridge and his body was pulled from the Hudson. He was a contestant on Hell's Kitchen back in 2007. I thought, well, I guess it's a minor footnote in television history, just some guy who was on a reality show, you know, 3 years ago. Why do I care about this guy? Well, now it turns out that he is not the first contestant from Hell's Kitchen to take his own life.
Really? It's not just that, by the way. The dude, whatever his name is, that yells at everyone... He told
Gordon Ramsay.
He said that his career was going to go down the Hudson. He said those words to him on the show. And then the dude jumped in the Hudson.
Oh, my
dude.
Gosh.
Yeah.
Do you think that had anything to do with it? Like, yes. That has been knocking around in his brain for the past 3 years?
I think the dude that's on Hell's Kitchen is killing people.
Well, let me tell you, this is why I'm now interested, because I do love death. Apparently, Rachel Brown, who also previously appeared as one of the celebrity, you know, wannabe chefs on Hell's Kitchen, shot herself, committed suicide back in 2007 after appearing on the show.
Well, I mean, he's pretty brutal.
Did he say your career is going to take a bullet in the head?
I wouldn't be surprised. I think they should be going over those tapes right now. But it seems like maybe some sort of additional disclaimer if you sign up to be on that show that it could kill you.
But you should know.
Therapy after.
But you should know. I mean, that show's about that guy yelling at chefs.
True.
That's it.
Right. That's what he does. Right. Exactly.
You go on that show and you get yelled at. Really? You're surprised? Come on.
It's like the American Idol bad auditions when they won't leave. Like, no, yeah. you just don't know what you're talking about. It's like, look, you signed up to be judged.
You've seen
it. And if
this.
You don't like it,
harshly.
Yeah.
Right.
Exactly.
So, yeah, that's good news right there. He's killing people off. Who knew? Leonardo DiCaprio, you know, it must be weird to be an A-level celebrity. Mm-hmm. Everywhere you go, people know you and want to get your autograph, take your picture, whatever. Apparently, according to New York Post, page 6, he was eating dinner at a Manhattan restaurant, and King Abdullah of Jordan...
Really?
Saw
him. Okay.
And he walked over and apparently requested a picture and a signature for his daughter.
Now, he didn't know who he was right off, I'm imagining.
He did.
He did.
It says he recognized him, right?
Really?
King Abdullah of Jordan.
All right. Leonardo is informed.
How bizarre is that? I mean, even as an A-lister, that's got to be weird.
That's like Barack Obama coming up to you for an autograph.
Right.
Yeah.
So weird.
Psycho Mike, he's the king of Jordan, not Georgia, by the way.
Oh, sorry.
So Tbilisi doesn't exactly fit in that case.
Is he the one with the crazy hot wife,
right?
Right?
But she's
talking about her last week on TV?
Yes. Yeah, yeah. Queen. Yeah, she's beautiful.
Yeah, she is.
Beautiful.
Beautiful doesn't say it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Here's a couple of casting news stories. I think we all saw the Sherlock Holmes movie, the Guy Ritchie that made last year with Robert Downey Jr., Jude Law.
Great
movie, right?
Like
really, really fun. Yeah. Well, they're working on the sequel right now. Actor Stephen Fry has been cast in the movie. From The Girl with the Dragon Tattoo, Noomi Rapace has also been cast in the movie. But they've been wondering, the casting call has been out for Moriarty, who is the arch nemesis of Sherlock Holmes. This is a major part in the movie. Lots of names have been bandied about. Russell Crowe was in it for a while. Brad Pitt, some people thought speculation was going on Brad Pitt because he'd been seen coming out of Guy Ritchie's house. They thought maybe they were working on that. Well, it is not who you expect, Kevin. You will not even recognize the name of Jared Harris, who has been cast in this major role in the Sherlock Holmes. Lisa, you will know who he is because he plays Lane Price on Mad Men.
Oh, my gosh.
He's the older British guy on Mad Men.
That is fascinating.
Now, he's a real good actor, and it's quite a break for him to make it as a movie star to be cast in this Sherlock Holmes movie.
Do you think his dad is going to let him do this, though? No.
Yeah, that's true. He is pretty much under his dad's thumb. Yeah. That's
Blackbird.
True.
Is this Moriarty, is he a tough guy?
Evil.
I think he's a smart guy is what he is.
He could play evil and smart for sure.
Can't play
a badass. Yeah.
Next up, by the way, they also believe that Russell Brand will be in the movie in some capacity in another role. So it's really turning into a star-studded affair. But that guy Ritchie, by the way, I like all of his movies, but I think he did a great job with the Sherlock Holmes. And the other casting news, this is just for me, but I'm going to say it anyway.
All right.
I don't watch Criminal Minds. I think it's one of those CBS procedural shows, of which there are many, and I don't watch any of them.
Yeah.
But they have just added a new cast member this upcoming season, and it's a little woman by the name of Rachel Nichols, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
All right.
Rachel, a frequent guest of the Kevin and Bean Show, perhaps best known as...
Hey, this is Rachel Nichols Baxter, and you're listening to Kevin and Bean.
She's going to be playing an FBI cadet named Ashley Seeger.
The FBI!
Everything for me.
You can't alley-oop yourself.
I need to start watching Criminal Minds. I love her so much.
It's no secret that Ozzy Osbourne was doing every single drug in the 80s. However, he just told Britain's Sunday Times magazine that back then he used to cure athlete's foot by pouring cocaine on his toes.
He had that much cocaine?
Yes. Apparently he had so much cocaine, he had athlete's foot, and then he would cure it with cocaine.
He just had buckets, and he would just step in them.
Just a shower of cocaine.
Wow.
That's a waste of good cocaine, isn't it, to put it on your feet?
Well,
he said it did
end up costing about $3,000 a toe, so really for the cost, it wasn't really worth it.
Why is Ozzy the best?
He is the best. The guy, who else would cure athlete's foot with cocaine?
You know, they do make a spray for that, Ozzy. I think it'd be a little bit cheaper. And finally, here is an update. I can't decide whether I'm sad about this or happy about this update. On the story we did yesterday, the drummer for MGMT, we told you, Will Berman, got soaked with somebody throwing a bottle of urine at him during a concert in Manchester, England.
Yes.
Now, that seems like a bad trend, because then bands aren't going to want to play after that.
And that's exactly what happened, is he got up and walked off the stage, didn't say anything to anybody. The rest of the band is just standing there, and all of a sudden they got no backbeat, right? So what happened? Well, apparently that was the story that we were told. We reported it yesterday. The guitarist for MGMT, Andrew Van Weingarten, posted yesterday on his website that it was not the case at all. It was a celebratory cup of hearty Manchester ale. It was not urine. It was beer.
Okay, but still, why throw it at him?
No. Well, that changes everything.
It
Wait
does?
A minute.
Yes. What, are you going to catch it in your mouth?
Some of it.
It's really not drinkable.
Some of
throw
it.
Throw it at him.
And Andrew went on to say that Will did not leave the concert. He just needed to get up off the stage to get a towel to mop up the liquid that was all over his drum set.
Oh, I see.
And then he did come back. So it wasn't that he's disputed the report that the concert ended because somebody threw pee at him.
So it wasn't pee. It was beer. Very different.
But I don't know whether I'm happy or sad about that, because I really enjoy the original story so much.
Right, but you don't want people throwing pee at bands.
No, I guess you don't.
It depends on the band. I mean, if it's Bieber, all right.
And I'm also a little bit surprised that a fan in England would waste a good cup of beer.
That's
too,
true.
By the way. It seems like they like it too much.
That's true.
Today's celebrity birthday is one of the hottest Baywatch babes of all time. Erica Eleniak is 41 years old today. Wasn't she in one of those? She was in a Steven Seagal movie, too.
She was.
Wasn't she? Like in Under Siege or one of those movies?
She was the one on the ship. All I know, I remember she coming out of the birthday cake.
Yes.
She's all good. It's funny that we all saw that really crappy movie. She's so hot.
He's famous for being a newscaster and also the whitest black man in America. Bryant Gumbel turns 62 years old today, formerly of The Today Show, by the way, Kevin, so you can hate him. Ian McShane, star of Deadwood, is 68 today. Les Claypool celebrates his birthday today. Primus sucks. He is 47. Josh Farro from Paramore is only 23 years old today. And Kevin Durant, who I would be very excited about if Seattle still had a basketball team, but now he plays for something called the Oklahoma City Thunder, the hell that is.
That's where the Supersonics went, Bean.
He is 22, and that is the showbiz. You are listening to the Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. I'm going to be completely honest with you now. I barely cared about Monday. I certainly didn't care about Tuesday's show. Today, I was excited about because of where we are in the program right now, ladies and gentlemen.
All right. Here's what happened. Psycho Mike was telling me yesterday, or the day before, I can't remember, that he got offered a threesome.
Okay.
And I said, how was it? And he said, I didn't do it. And I said, then it wasn't offered. Here's the thing. With guys, if you're offered a threesome, you take it. If you don't take it, it wasn't offered. Those are the only options.
I didn't know this was a rule.
Yes.
It isn't.
No, I got to back Kevin on this. It's absolutely a rule.
Turning down a threesome is not an acceptable option.
Okay, that's coming from the guys who don't get offered threesomes very often. And I'm telling you, as the guy who does, the girls who approach you who offered threesomes...
Careful, they're on hold.
Who offer threesomes, for the most part, are not the girls you want to have threesomes with.
They're on
regardless,
hold.
Regardless, I will agree with you...
They're time on out. Hold.
I will agree with you that your standards go down way lower when multiple partners are involved.
Correct.
Now, there are other circumstances, and they are very strange.
Okay, hold on a sec. Before you start making up lies here, here my whole thing. I don't care if you've just eaten the biggest Thanksgiving dinner that's ever been prepared in history and you're getting ready to pop. If somebody comes up to you and offers you a Dairy Queen Blizzard, you take it. That's all there is to it. There's no room to turn it down to say no because it's Dairy Queen Blizzard.
And my point is that not all threesomes are blizzards. Some of them are poo cups.
Okay, but are the people on hold in that category?
No, they are not. Right. Now, time out. There are, like I said, there are other circumstances involved. Like, if you work with someone and you know it's going to be uncomfortable. If you're
Hold on.
If your drunk aunt offers you a threesome with your cousin, you go, no, your family. Okay, there are other wacky circumstances. This happens to be a pretty wacky circumstance, Kevin.
It's a little wacky.
A little!
But that's partly what makes it exciting and interesting and fun and impossible to turn down there. All right, who's involved in the threesome? Right. Who are the people involved here?
There is a girl that works at the radio station named Sadie.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, she's a phone Sadie. Up. Yeah, by the way,
she's a phone Sadie. Up. Yes, all right. She's a phone up in our program department.
And she also is a phone up for Loveline, so I have a very close personal relationship with Sadie.
Now, she didn't offer
Oh, okay.
Let's say hi to Sadie's mom.
Okay. All right. I'm still down, by the way.
All right. Sadie's mom. Hi there.
Hi. Good morning.
This is Lori.
Okay. Hi, Lori.
And hold on, Lori. Let's say good morning to Mary, who is Sadie's grandmother.
I'm sorry.
That is me.
Hi, Mary.
Hi, yeah. Mary.
I have 2 points to make.
Yes, please.
Yes, you do.
I am not 80, Mike.
Mike.
I am 85. Are you going to scream?
No. And
it's not ageism.
Let's make one thing clear, Mary. It had nothing to do with my level of attraction to you or your beautiful daughter, Lori. It had to do with the fact that you are the mother and grandmother of someone that I work with quite often,
okay.
By the way.
So let me just butt in here for a second and say, doesn't that make it better?
Mm-mm.
Yes! Because you now have had sex with her mom and grandmother.
Yeah. No,
you
it's
rule.
Weird.
Yes, it's weird. It's weird, but it's more weird for Sadie than it is for Mike. Mike has the upper hand.
I don't think so.
I'm surprised my daughter even lets us talk to you.
I know. Listen, right, I asked her yesterday, and she said, I think they would.
Lori, first of all, thanks to you and your mom for both coming on. But I want to know how the threesome was offered. Was Sadie like pimping you guys out? Was she offered to sell you? How did the offer even come up?
My mother always gets me and her into predicaments. And my daughter is very shy, but my mother is definitely not. And
okay.
When we met Mike, she probably said, "Oh, you're so cute."
Your mom said that.
Probably.
So
and
Sadie's
Mike,
grandma. Okay.
Mike, she also wants to let you know she has her own teeth and doesn't take any medication.
All right.
There you go. Well, she's got tooth, she has two things better than most of the women I sleep with.
Now, Lori, if you don't mind my asking, has your mom offered up a threesome with the two of you before?
No, but she did say if she was gay, she would love to sleep with Angelina Jolie. She thinks she's just great.
Well,
I'd like
yeah.
to see that understand as well.
You know, and in this household, we sleep with dogs anyway, so anything would be a step up.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wow. And by dogs, you mean animals, right?
Right.
Just ugly men.
And by sleep with, you mean fall
you
asleep
mean,
with.
Yeah. Yeah. Snooze.
Okay. Now let me ask another question here. Thank you, Lori. Great answer. Let me ask Mary, who is Sadie's grandma. You're 85 years old.
That's
are you?
Right.
Okay, because of the discussion that we're having, I hope you don't think this is inappropriate. I mean no disrespect, but you are still sexually active at 85, Mary?
I am not talking about a threesome that Mike is thinking about. Do you want to hear my threesome?
Yes, yes.
Sure.
Okay. It's, will all three of us go down to pick apart auto junkyard?
No.
And pick apart cars.
That's not what you meant.
Okay, Grandma, that's not what a threesome is.
That's a nice try, but
I have that. The threesome involves your muffler, but it does involve a car, okay?
Oh, my God.
Here's the next one. Disneyland will all three ride in the teacup.
All right, Mary.
No.
Is that
no,
you're being,
listen.
That's code, yeah. Teacup is code.
Mike, I will not disclose my sex life to you or anyone else.
Okay, wait
all right.
a minute. Did you offer him a threesome or not?
Yes, absolutely. But he jumped the gun.
Oh, he thought you meant threesome.
Yes.
Okay. Look, threesome. Just, Mary, threesome means one thing.
That's right.
Oh, I was 85.
Doesn't matter.
But you only look 79, you told me.
Oh, she doesn't
great.
Even look that.
Okay.
She, I got to say, she looks
that.
Great. She looks great.
I'll take that. Then I'll reconsider my offer.
Okay, good.
You even offered to brush your hair.
That's true.
Wow.
So the problem here is that Mike understood an English word in the only way that that word can reasonably be interpreted. That's the misunderstanding here?
A threesome is what, Mike?
A threesome would be the three of us knocking boots.
That's right. That's right. And that's what Mary, Sadie's grandmother, and Lori, Sadie's mom, were offering Mike.
Now, that's what they signed up for.
I'm shocked that Mike didn't say yes, because it would be just like Mike to, because now somebody you work with, like, you rule. Like, you rule over them.
Oh, yeah, no, it's
you know what
so
I mean?
On.
Like, it's a burn.
Yeah, yeah.
How do you not do it, of all people?
I don't know, man. It was like when the situation came around, and no, I didn't mean the situation. Sure, Kevin. I could see your dumb head moving.
He wasn't sure.
sure which way it was going to go. And naturally, my mother has to stand up because if she lays down, she'll go to sleep.
All right.
Look, there's three people. That can happen.
Yeah. That's okay. Right. Let me ask this question. All right. Let's sweeten the pot a little bit. Mary's on board. Lori's on board. If we could get Sadie on board, Mike, would you then do it? Make it a foursome?
No, I couldn't watch my granddaughter in circumstance. No.
But your daughter. But wait, Mary, your daughter you could watch that way. Your daughter.
Oh, yeah.
This is a special collection of women. Let's not forget, she's 85 years old, and Sadie's mom 52. Is Sadie's mom. And
52, okay.
And they came out to see we met because they came out to see my metal band play.
What?
Right?
They spent their Saturday night.
I won't do that.
They drove out to Riverside to see Murder on the 405, and they were hanging out, they're rocking out, headbanging the whole deal.
Were they drinking?
I don't know.
Were you drinking?
Actually, I was driving. So, and my mother, we can't let her drink because the threesome would have probably happened there.
That Mary was drinking. Mary, you were drinking, weren't you?
She's exaggerating.
These are not your average grandmother-mother combo. These girls are a party.
I love them so much. Listen, here's what JD in Oshkosh, Wisconsin, listening to the Kevin and Bean Show says. Like my friends say, Mike, always do it for the story.
Right.
Go for it.
That's
what you do.
What
you
Mike
do
does.
It for the story.
No. Right. Even if there is none, you make one up.
Okay, and here's the deal. Now that I think about it, you're right.
You're in.
I apologize.
You're in.
For not taking them up on it that night.
You're in.
Yeah.
And for the sake of the show,
yes.
If these beautiful ladies are still in,
yes.
It's time.
Well, maybe Kevin or Bean might be interested because you're too late, Mike.
Oh,
you're excluded. You're excluded. Right. You're excluded from the threesome.
I'm excluded from the grandma threesome.
I'll do it, Mary.
All right, listen, ladies, we got to go. We are out of time, but we love Sadie. She's a pleasure to work with. We really enjoy having her around, and it's been great to meet you. I hope we see you again, okay?
And I adore
welcome.
My Sadie.
We all adore Sadie.
Thank you very much.
Nothing like us.
That's true. Okay, that is true. All right, thank you.
Thank you, ladies. All right, so here's the topic on the table. First of all, Mike, you fail. Second of all, the topic on the table is I know that Kevin and Bean listeners have been involved in threesome opportunities, and Mike listed three or four different reasons why you might turn down a threesome.
I turned down another one the other day, and I'll tell you, one of the girls was 17.
Okay, that's legit. I'm telling you, there's circumstances. You can't just sit here and say,
threesome, do it. You do it. That's it, for the most part,
that's the rule.
Yeah.
There are a few exceptions.
Okay.
If you work with somebody and their grandma offers a threesome, that's not an exception.
Right. That's not an exception.
You have to do that.
Fair enough.
So we want to hear from you if you've ever had the opportunity to be part of a threesome and you turned it down. We want to hear your reasons for that. 1-800-520-1067. Your call's coming up on the Kevin and Bean. Dear Kevin and Bean, the email begins. The reason Psycho Mike turned down the threesome is obvious. It was two girls plus him. If it had been at least one other guy, you know he would have accepted.
That's true.
Yeah.
How hard are the guys?
Exactly.
I mean, all right.
Yeah.
If you're just joining us, we were talking to a coworker's mother and grandmother who were both offered up over the weekend as part of a threesome with Psycho Mike. He declined. Kevin, what's your position on that? You've got a one sentence statement that sets this all right.
Gay?
No. That wasn't it.
No, there's two. There's if a threesome is offered, it's taken. If it's not taken, it wasn't offered.
There you go.
That's all I'm saying.
So we're taking your calls at 1-800-520-1067. You have violated Kevin's rule. Rich is on line 7. He's got it. Now we have to decide as we take these calls. We've all agreed here in the room that there are some reasons to turn it down. There are very few. But if the girl's under 18, obviously that's a no-go.
The rule is you accept it. There are exceptions.
Let's see if Rich has one of those exceptions. Hi, welcome to the show, man.
Hey guys, how's it going? Long time listener.
Real quick story.
Driving home from a party with my buddy, and the girl offered, but my friend is really fat, gross, hairy, and it was like doing it with Ron Jeremy.
Hold on now.
Smell moments, okay.
So we should have specified a threesome is not two guys.
Technically you said three, John.
I know.
This is definitely a negative.
But they're sexist, so we never get to have two guys.
I'm with you on that, Rich. That was a good decision. You don't want to see your fat friend naked. Good on you.
And I was out.
All right, you're out. That's good.
You did the right thing.
Now let's specify. threesomes don't have two guys.
No, unless it's two girls. It's two girls and a guy. That's what the definition of a threesome is.
That's the godly version of the threesome.
That's what Jesus. That's the only kind that Jesus would be in. Exactly.
That's the way they did it in Jerusalem.
All right, let's try Emily. She is on line three. Keep it going for us, Emily. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show. What happened?
Hey, oh my God. Oh, okay. So my roommate and I in college, we go up to my boyfriend and we say, "Hey, you want to take a shower with us?" And he's just like, "I don't think we'll fit in the shower." But we were really like, hey, you should really have sex with both of us at the same time. And we went and had sex without him because
well, that's crazy. Small.
That's the best. But
he freaked
so
out.
He was your boyfriend. Do you think
he is my boyfriend still?
Still?
Oh, what?
You're still
what?
With him?
Is he with you right now?
Can you put him on the phone right now?
he's at school right now. Oh. The thing is, if he misses out on an opportunity, I won't.
That's great.
Okay, no, but my question is, why did he turn it down? Obviously, we don't all fit in the shower was not a real reason.
He didn't really think that you couldn't fit in the shower. Is one of you monster fat?
No. Then, I'm 4'10", and my roommate was 5'1".
Okay, so...
But you didn't mention weights. We got your height.
I'm 5'5", and she's 110.
Okay, so they won't fit in the shower is just his way of getting out of it.
Emily, I know she's your female friend, and I know how you women like to lie for your friends, but how ugly is this broad?
No, she's gorgeous. She has the best double D's ever.
There's something wrong with this guy, then. There's something serious happening
here. They probably never talked about it, and Emily, she just threw it out there, and he freaked out.
Emily, I don't know how to judge the situation. I don't know how to judge the situation without a photo.
Good point.
you know what I mean?
Because both girls. Of both girls.
I'll email you one.
Okay, thank you.
Okay.
All right, and then we'll judge whether this is an exception or not. But you shouldn't be with that dude.
Thank you for the call. Let's try Ashley on line one. Let's see if this is an exception to the you never turn down a threesome rule. Ashley, welcome to the show.
Hello, Ashley.
Oh,
he's not there.
Do we lose him?
He says two girls. He turned down because he lives with them.
That could be awkward.
So what about that?
Oh, you guys.
So what?
No, that's not awkward enough.
So
you can always move, Lisa. Come on. Let's try Tori on line four. Is this an exception? Hi, Tori. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi. Okay, so I was at Coachella, and these two very attractive people approached me. They bought me a beer. They're very nice. Of course, Coachella is like land of sex and love.
Sure.
And so I keep looking at them, and they kind of have the same features. And so I get on the topic about, oh, my ID picture's so bad. And so they pull out theirs, and they're brother and sister.
Brother and sister.
And it's not like their last names are like Smith or something. I could be confused. It's like three names, like Vista del Toro.
Right.
Like,
I don't know how much conversation you had with them about this, but if they're comfortable enough to have sex together, that's the weird part. I don't think that has anything to do with you.
Well, yeah, but this is one of the reasons you would ever turn it down.
But you can
do people. You don't know what they're doing.
But
if they're doing each other, what else are they doing?
No, well, that's true. What are they waiting point. In that hotel room for you if they're brother and sister willing to have sex with each other? You know what I'm saying?
They're going to Dexter her. That's what's going to happen. Something is really wrong.
They've already got the painter's cloth lied down on the ground so that they can drill a hole in your face with a 3-inch drill bit.
All right, Tori, again, I don't know without photos, but it sounds to me like that might be an exception.
This whole bit just a way to get photos?
Just to get photos, yeah.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it there for now. But Psycho Mike, I think what we're saying is next time, do it for the show.
Wait a minute.
Right?
Hold on a second. Ashley's on line two, I'm being told.
Oh, okay.
Ashley?
I think we're done. But
Ashley, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
By the way, I'm a girl.
Oh. Interesting. Okay.
Yeah. Well, you're the one who has the two roommates.
And they're female.
Yeah.
And they're all. So everybody's female?
Yeah, we're all female.
We're going to need a picture of all three of you.
We need a picture. We can't decide without photos. We don't want to just be willy-nilly with our decisions. Yeah. You know what I mean?
And really, clothing just obscures our view on things.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Omar joins us in studio as he does each Wednesday for the Glee Cap. Let me tell you something about Glee.
Just fire me. Seriously.
Let me tell you something about Glee, that you don't know. The show debuted to a spectacular open. It's been a hit since episode one. A huge hit all last season. Came back to big numbers last week. Last night's episode, the Britney Spears tribute episode, highest rated episode in Glee history, ladies and gentlemen. There you go.
Yeah, there's a lot of dumb people. There's a lot of dumb people.
I thought it was great.
Well, you're really wrong.
So here's what here's how things work on this show.
He's so depressed.
Seriously.
He's really depressed. Yeah. Here's how things work on this show.
I'm so beat up, dude.
We all pretty much love the show, except for Omar, who hates it. So, so we make him watch it and bring in highlights.
Yeah, you guys think it'll eventually turn me around, well, and I keep saying it's American Idol and High School Musical.
You're not open to it enough,
you guys are the biggest mangina on the planet. And I don't know why the hell you guys keep making me watch it. It's not going to make a lick of difference. The show blows.
Last night didn't turn you a little?
No. All right. Not even a little bit. Here's the intro.
Glee cap, glee cap, glee cap. Why do you like this stupid show? It sucks so bad I'm gonna let you know. I think I'm gonna go number two on it. This crappy music makes me feel so goddamn sick. Glee cap, glee cap, glee cap. Glee crap, glee crap, glee crap.
See what he did?
That's right.
How do you do it?
Last night the kids found inspiration in their musical idol Britney Spears.
Yes, they did. Last night's episode was all about the homecoming assembly, and what are they going to do? So the gay kid comes up with this plan.
This week at the fall homecoming assembly, the McKinley High School Glee Club perform a number by, wait for it, Miss Britney Spears.
Yo, Spears is fierce, yo.
Yo, Spears is fierce, yo. That's little Stephen Hawking being the biggest douchebag in the world. Come on now. Really?
Did he say that?
Yes.
All right.
Britney Spears is not fierce, first of all.
She
is
fierce.
When was Britney Spears big? 99, 2000?
Yeah. Right.
Sure. Yes. Now? 2010.
Big,
really?
Bigger.
Really?
Weight.
Yeah, for sure. I agree. But, I mean, come on.
We follow her life.
She's fierce, Omar.
Okay, do you enjoy her music, Kevin?
Not a lot, but she's pretty sexy.
Shut up. Bean?
She made good songs back in the day.
Do you enjoy her music, Bean?
I like her
videos. Do you pop it on the iPod and rock out to it?
No. No, I don't.
Okay.
I don't. I like
her
videos.
Videos is fine.
Sexy.
Sound down, but you know, it's all good.
All right.
Okay.
Take it easy.
Yesterday they introduced the John Stamos character, who is the boyfriend of White Man Afro Teacher Guy's crush, Big Eyes.
Big Eye, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Big Eyes.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah. So he's a dentist, right?
Uh-huh.
So they decide to give all the kids dental exams, and they come up with this witty, funny line.
Kids can't sing without teeth, right?
No.
Maybe it wouldn't be singing, it'd be gumming.
Gumming is what happened on that show last night.
All right,
there's no defending that, really.
No, there isn't.
There isn't. Okay.
No.
Just accept that the show's bad and you're bad.
No, the show's good.
It was
somehow.
One line.
No. In spite of that.
How? Okay. So last night, all the Glee kids went to go see the dentist and they all got put under. Okay,
with the gas.
And the only highlight, and I am going to admit that last night there was a highlight.
All right,
okay, dumb cheerleader.
We're turning the corner.
It's pretty awesome.
She's funny. Brittany.
Only 5 minutes she was funny of the entire show. So 55 of the goddamn minutes on the show were bad, and five were okay.
All right,
okay,
that's progress.
Start. That's bad.
But it's
why would you give a show an hour of your life for 5 minutes of good? Are you wasting your life away? Yes, you are. She gets put under, and this happens. Okay. And it goes on forever.
Right.
Do you like this, Kevin? It's on your TV.
The song I don't like.
Okay.
She was sexy in it, though.
Oh, she's a butterface, dude.
She
has a great
sexy
body, but her face is fucked,
okay,
man.
Well, she was... Her face was covered by her hair most of the number.
Did you turn the sound down and, you know, spank one off to it?
No!
Then what's wrong with you?
She was sexy. Wasn't she sexy in
she
this
She was
beat?
Barely.
Oh.
No way! But the song I blows she, the music.
That's on
I thought she looked good, and she's a hell of a dancer.
Okay.
She
that, is a good dancer.
That actress, by the way, who plays Britney on the show, is a dancer. I mean, she toured with Beyonce as one of her backup
dancers. Right. Listen,
she's
I don't want to hear your background on every member on Glee, asshole. I'm here to let you know that you need to stop watching this show. So guess what happens next, man?
What?
They get put under again, but this time, a stupid cheerleader girl gets put under with a hot Latina chick.
Right.
Okay? And this happens.
All my people in the crowd, grab a partner, take it down.
Okay. Come on now. Really?
This is a Madonna song, right?
No, this is another Britney song.
Why not? But didn't she do it with Madonna?
Who cares?
I don't know.
The music blows is my point.
But they were sexy.
This is on your TV.
Right.
No! Not sexy. By the way, they had a lot of clothes on during this number, okay?
Yeah, they did.
Show me some boob, is what I'm saying.
But it's not a boob show.
It's fine. Show me some boob if you want me to watch
it. It's not on HBO. Oh, baby.
Big nose right here. Come on.
Leah Michelle.
She was dressed like a Catholic schoolgirl. She did the video just like...
Yeah, her honker was so distracting. I couldn't look at anything else. I was like, dude, what's up with your honker?
She was hot.
And now she's lost so much weight, her boobs are gone too.
Well, she did lose
too much
weight.
Are you kidding me?
That's true, she's too skinny.
Okay, so she does that song, and then she wakes up after the dentist, and this is what
Glee kids are impossible to work on. They're always moving around when you're under.
Is this real life?
Oh, because that was funny 2 years ago, dentist video, after it's been done to death. Don't say it was funny, Bean. The joke's been done over and over.
It was a callback.
It was a callback. I thought it was a very clever one-second joke.
It was a callback to the little kid.
You're very dumb people is what I'm getting. That's my point. Okay, so
hold on a sec. I have to ask this. I'm sorry to interrupt. You like the show or you don't care for it?
That's okay. So there's a stupid-ass storyline that little Stephen Hawking wants to get on the football team.
Right. Yeah, that's dumb.
That's dumb, right?
Because he's in a wheelchair.
Right. Yeah. So he sings this. I've had enough. What? You don't want to see a dude in a wheelchair, and he's on the football field, he's getting rolled around during the whole thing. Oh, yeah, I'm tough. Stephen Hawking needs to die. Seriously.
Well, I gotta tell
you. He needs to go away.
This was dumb.
Yeah, okay.
But this guy's stronger than yesterday,
Omar. Oh, my God, dude. It's music's awful. Worst thing ever.
I gotta tell you, though, the music is almost better than Britney's.
I disagree.
You think Britney's is better?
I think
better?
It's all bad.
Well, all right.
Okay? So they're going to continue with this stupid storyline that little Stephen Hawking, because little Stephen Hawking asked the Man Beast coach, and this is what she says.
I wanted to ask you to reconsider putting me on the football team.
I'm not with him on this one.
Well, you should be. I need you to help him get his uniform.
Are you kidding me? So they're going to continue on with that stupid storyline.
Yeah.
What the hell?
He's going to be on the football team, Omar.
I hope he gets killed on the football field.
It's a story of hope.
Dude, it's so lame. So then finally, they freaking get to the homecoming, and guess what they perform?
Britney.
Oh, yes. Let's hear this. With a taste of your lips, I'm on the ride. Watching a show. Really? Come on. You're wasting your life away, Kevin.
That wasn't
What did you think about Britney Spears herself appearing in several cameos on the show? You don't see that very often.
She was pretty hot.
Yeah, that hot. I mean, if there's even such a category.
She wasn't that hot.
She was only like a tub of lard hot.
She looked like she was back, kind of back to her fighting
weight. Doubt that very much.
All right.
Not from what I saw. It just proves my fact that dumb people are watching this show. So show's okay.
Right.
But okay, every stupid show, they have to give some sort of message or whatever. So throughout the whole episode, White Man Afro Teacher Guy is trying to win the love and affection of Big Eyes, trying to be something that he's not, buys a car and everything, and this is the inspirational moment of the show, because everything has to have a stupid inspirational moment.
Have you ever noticed that Britney Spears only makes great music when she's not chasing down paparazzi? She can't just swallow a grenade and let her talent explode all over the wall. She's got to rein it in, just like you do.
She's got a point.
You're such a great teacher, Will.
Yeah.
No, probably the best in the whole school. So why would you want to be someone else when the someone that you already are is so amazing?
Because the boring someone I already am wasn't good enough for you.
Shut up, Glee. I'm going to go to the bathroom right now, dude. The package is coming, Glee. The package is coming.
Glee crap, Glee crap, Glee crap.
With lots of legroom, JetBlue is the only way to fly out of LAX. Book your next flight today at JetBlue.com.
You can books it.
I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
Thank you, Lisa. It's world famous K-Rock at 8:56.
Remember a few weeks ago here on the Kevin and Bean Show, we had in a band named Hot Waffles, and they performed a song for us called George Lucas Raped My Childhood. Remember that?
Yeah. Yep.
And their complaint was that he destroyed the legacy and the memory of the original Star Wars movies by making the bad prequels.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, George Lucas is getting ready to rape your adulthood, because he has just announced yesterday that the Star Wars movies, all six of them will be re-released in theaters, this time in 3D, ladies and gentlemen. In 3D. Now, they weren't filmed in 3D.
No.
And my understanding about movies that weren't filmed in 3D and then they take back into the lab and try to make them look like they're in 3D is they look pretty crappy.
You know what? They don't look crappy, but They're not as good. They're clearly not as good.
No.
They're clearly right. not as good. But
I think that would be disappointing.
They sort of pull it off, but they're starting with the first one. Not
in 2012,
four.
Right?
The last one they made.
Not four, which was the original. They did 4, 5, 6, and then 1, 2, 3.
Right.
The 1, 2, 3 were considered the bad ones. So they're starting with the bad ones.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So in 2012, the first one's going to come
Episode
out.
Episode one, right.
So by the time you get to 4, which was the first good one, you're going to be dead.
But if he goes back to the film that he shot in 1977,
yes.
Episode 4, what's he going to be able to do with that to turn it into 3D?
I don't know.
So I don't feel good about this. George Lucas said he's been looking for years and years and years, his quote, to add 3D to the Star Wars movies, but he wanted to wait for the technology to advance, and also he wanted to wait till there were more 3D theaters around so that he could, make more money off of it when he re-releases it.
Hey, I wonder if he's going to add stuff. I wonder if you could add special effects for the 3D, like, you know, explosions and stuff. When the Death Star explodes, maybe you could add pieces of the Death Star flying out or something. I don't know.
Well, I should be happy for George because he didn't make very much money off those Star Wars movies, so hopefully this will work out true. Yeah. Oh, wait, he made all the money in the world. Angelina Jolie is in the news for two big reasons today. Us Weekly reports, we've talked about Angelina Jolie is directing a movie in Hungary right now. It's a Bosnian war film, and she's the director of it. So she and her family are staying in Bosnia for a while. They are renting a home for $27,000 a month.
Whoa.
A month?
A month. A month. In Bosnia. What can you get in Bosnia for that kind of money,
dear
by the way?
God.
It is secluded, has a servant's quarters, banquet halls, a pool, an acre of land, nature trails for the kids to explore. I mean, 27 grand a month seems like a lot to us, to Angelina Jolie. She probably didn't notice it.
Yeah.
And the other Angelina story that I thought was fascinating is that she did an interview last week, also in Us Weekly magazine, where she said that she did an interview on television where she said she doesn't have any friends. She doesn't really see anybody or talk to anybody.
Right.
She's got no real friends. But then she admitted to Us Weekly magazine that, no, I forgot. I do have one friend. I'm actually close to Mindy Cohn.
What?
Who was she, Mike?
She was the fat broad on Facts of Life, right?
Okay. How is that Angelina's one friend in the world? How is the fat chick on Facts of Life? How does she rate?
No way.
What's up with that?
No. Is that a joke?
She asked me to make it.
No. Apparently, they're actually very good friends and talk often. So I don't know how that happened.
Hey, what about me, the fat girl from Facts of Life? Oh, yeah, I forgot about you. I'll make it right.
I mean,
she was not only the fat run on Facts of Life, but she was the first one to lose her virginity. It was very, very riveting.
Oh, well, they have that
crazy
in common.
Episode.
Well, you know, fat girls do stuff because they have low self-esteem, right, Mike?
And Angeline, she must have lost her virginity when she was like 4.
Oh, yeah.
So
yeah,
they have no that in kidding. Common. Justin Bieber back in the news, too, in case you were wondering why they're not cashing in more. Where's all the Bieber merchandise? Well, a new line of collectible figures based on Justin Bieber has just been announced.
Dolls.
It's the Justin Bieber Music Video Collection singing figures. Yes, dolls.
They're dolls.
He is going to be dressed like he was in the videos for Baby and One Less Lonely Girl, two of his big, big hits. Those dolls will play 30-second bits of songs from Justin Bieber. There's also a JB Style collection featuring dolls wearing Justin's best street looks. There's also going to be a Justin Bieber toy microphone, plush Justin Bieber bears dressed in hoodies, Justin Bieber fitted caps, and, of course, Team Bieber T-shirts. All of it becomes available just in time for the lucrative holiday gift-giving season on December the 4th. So if you're looking something to buy for Psycho Mike, now you can look no further. And finally, it was no surprise after Michael Bolton danced what one of the judges said was the worst jive in the 11-season history of Dancing with the Stars. In fact, he got a 3 from that judge, by the way. Bruno gave Bolton a 3 on Monday.
Out of 10?
Is that 30.
Out of 10.
3 out of, no, 3 out of 10, oh. Right. And then that added up to be only 12 out of 30 was his score. Yeah, it was one of the lowest scores in the history of the show. Anyway, so it's no surprise that he was in the bottom two along with Brandy, and then he was asked to leave. So no more Michael Bolton on the show.
Wow, he was
which is great because
it
means the situation is still on, so we at least have somebody to laugh at. Psycho Mike, you became friends with Michael Bolton when he came in on the Loveline show.
Oh, yeah,
have you reached out?
Rips.
Have you consoled the Bolt Dog? Is he doing okay?
I'm sorry. Are we calling him Bolt Dog?
We who know him are.
Recognize, dude. It's Bolt Dog. And, look, it's been tough for the Bolt DZ, but... Don't make it through.
Oh, Kevin. Sorry, I just
elbowed
him.
Did you just hit Mike in the balls? Yep. What just happened?
I couldn't take Bolt Dog talk.
And today's celebrity birthday is former Baywatch babe Erica Aleniak is 41 years old today. Newscaster Bryant Gumbel turns 62. Actor Tom Sizemore, perhaps best known for two things. One is he used to date Heidi Fleiss.
Right.
And two is he's on Celebrity Everything. He turns 49 today, and it's a little bit shocking that he's still alive. Comedian Andrew Dice Clay is 52 years old today. Ian McShane from the Deadwood series is 68. Very good actor. Les Claypool from Primus is 47. Josh Farrow for Paramore, 23, and Kevin Durant, who I think was the number one NBA draft pick a couple of years ago, now playing with Oklahoma City. He has got a bright future ahead of him, and he's only 22 years old, and that is the show business.
One of the best shows I've ever seen, Sunday night, Staples Center, Muse.
They're amazing.
It's 106.7 K-Rock KROQ at 10 minutes after 9 o'clock.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show. We're going to talk to a 13-year-old acting sensation coming up in about 10 minutes or so here. Her name is Chloe Moretz. You know her as Hit Girl in the, what was the name of that movie?
Why did you bring it up if you didn't know?
why did I forget? Kick-Ass. From Kick-Ass. She was Hit Girl, right? And she also stars in this new vampire movie that looks so good called Let Me In. She's on the way from the Kevin and Bean Show. First, though. When you hear the words Las Vegas Death Ray, it sounds like a hot new band playing the Sunset Strip, but it's actually a real concern for people staying in a particular hotel in Las Vegas. Here's a news story to tell you what we're talking about.
Hotels on the Vegas Strip scrambling to protect guests from Mother Nature. Employees reportedly call the problem a death ray. The curved design of the Vidara Hotel apparently focuses too much sunlight onto the pool area. Guests have complained about serious burns and say the strong rays even melt plastic cups and wrappers.
Basically,
how about that?
Oh my God.
What a horrible design flaw this is. I mean, basically, they have a giant magnifying glass for the sun.
There's an area about 10 by 15 feet. It's a hot zone, and I guess about 90 minutes before and after noon, so for about 3 hours, this portion of the area about by the pool is so hot that it will burn you, Lisa.
Causing severe burns. And by the way, he didn't say guests called it the death ray. He said employees called it the death ray.
And think about what that must be like. I mean, in Las Vegas in the summer, it's already 110, 115 degrees.
Yeah.
You add 20 degrees to that, you can see why people are literally getting scorched.
This dude says, I'm sitting there in my chair, and all of a sudden my hair on the top of my head are burning. I'm rubbing my head. It felt like a chemical burn. I couldn't imagine what it could be.
It wouldn't take long for that to, like a magnifying glass, that doesn't take any time at all. And this is a giant one.
And it's the whole design of the hotel, apparently.
I mean, you could be burning before you even feel it, really.
Yes.
This is the Vidara Hotel. It is owned by the MGM Mirage. We asked producer Alex if he could line up somebody who works in that pool area in Las Vegas. And I believe we've got an employee of the hotel on the phone with us right now here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Hello, sir.
Thank you for calling Vidara Hotel. How can we make your stay better here in Las Vegas today?
Are you out at the pool?
Yes, I am.
Excellent. Excellent.
We were just talking and telling our listeners about the story about the Las Vegas death ray. I'm sure you know all about that working at the Vidara.
Well, yeah. We've had some of the people in the local media come out and interview the staff and things. I mean, and look, it is hot here in Las Vegas. When you come out to the pool, you're going to experience some heat. But as far as the death ray, I don't know anything about that. That seems a little extreme.
You haven't heard about that?
Does the sun focus in a particular spot more than others?
Not that I can tell. Like I said, I mean, it's just overall hot out here, and some people do.
Oh, no.
Hello?
Hello? Hello?
Hi, what happened to the guy on the phone?
What's going on? Can you tell me what's going on? I just walked by and found this on his phone.
We were talking to a guy about the death ray at the swimming pool.
I don't know.
The sun focusing in the spot.
I'm out here in my bikini, but I don't understand. Oh, my God!
Well, that's terrible. We just lost the way he was laughing.
Hello?
Who's this?
I found this phone. What is this?
We're a radio station in Los Angeles, and we're calling. You're at the Vidara?
Yeah.
At the pool?
Yeah.
Does it feel unusually hot to you?
It's hot as hell out here, but what, you know, it's Vegas.
It is Vegas.
This is...
The death ray is apparently, it's like a magnifying glass where it makes it even hotter than people can stand at some locations around the pool.
Come on.
Kind of a silent death. I don't know what happened there.
Hello?
Sweet, a phone.
Hello?
What? Hello?
Hey, we're calling about the death ray.
What death ray?
Maybe you should.
Why can't you see all the...
Oh my. Is that your best non-mic voice?
What? That's Steve. I think it's Steve.
Hello,
Steve.
Yeah.
Come on, Steve. Come on. I gotta pay attention. Sir, at Las Vegas at the pool, can't you see all those bodies laying around? Have you not noticed that?
I just kicked this phone with my water socks on, so... I just picked it up, and you guys were on the line.
Okay. Is it particularly hot right there?
Yeah, it's a little toasty, but, we get through it. It's Vegas.
That's good.
Right.
So,
it's nice.
Just canning out here.
Right, sure.
Yeah,
GTL.
All right. I want David to keep talking, so I'm not going to hit the sound effect. Did someone just tell me?
He's going.
Let's make Dave ad lib. There you go.
All right.
Goodbye, sir. You are listening to The Kevin and Bean Show on a Wednesday. Ralph Garman is off filming a movie this week. We are taking turns filling in on the showbiz beat, and unfortunately, we did our very best we could to push this off and hope it wouldn't happen, but it's Psycho Mike's turn.
Yeah. So the biggest story in showbiz right now probably is that Gordon Ramsay is killing people.
He's a killer. He's a killer.
He's like Son of Sam.
Who knew? Hell's Kitchen is named appropriately.
Contestant Joseph Carnelia was found floating in the Hudson River yesterday. Friday afternoon after he apparently killed himself. Joe was part of the 2007 Hell's Kitchen. And this is not the first time that a Hell's Kitchen contestant has killed themselves. Rachel Brown, who also appeared on Hell's Kitchen, shot herself in 2007.
Wow.
So,
well, I mean, you go on that show and the guy does nothing but scream at you for an entire season. I imagine it kind of bums you out if you got any cracks in your sanity. He exploits that by making your life miserable.
Yeah.
Right, but the show's called Hell's Kitchen. It has hell in the title.
It does.
And you have to know by now that his shtick is that he yells at people.
That's right.
Everything sucks.
It's not very interesting if you have a mild-mannered critic. And he comes by and says, your food's okay.
That's all
you
right.
You got potential.
That's all right. I give you five.
Work on this risotto a little bit, and you can go some places. It's the fact that he yells at you that makes it an interesting show.
But he told the guy that killed himself in the Hudson River that his career was going to go down the Hudson River. He said those words to him.
Well, then can you really blame him?
And then the dude supposedly jumped from a bridge, so... I'm saying maybe Gordon Ramsay.
I think Steve Buscemi probably had him rubbed out. That's what I think.
Mm.
A stretch, but okay.
If you are running for governor of California.
Yes. Okay.
Pick one group you would not want to upset.
Voters.
Well, if you were to make... I'm talking about the subset of voters here in California. There's probably one group that I think... would be a bad idea to upset if I wanted to gain popularity here in the state.
Los Mexicans?
Yes. And Meg Whitman is in a lot of trouble, or has the potential to be in a lot of trouble with La Raza, because her former housekeeper, who has lawyered up with none other than Gloria Allred,
of course,
is going to come out and say how she suffered long-lasting Latina torture from being Meg Whitman's home housekeeper. That's right.
What?
Latina torture.
Did somebody order Mexican?
TMZ reported this story earlier, and there's not a lot of details about what this torture was. But like I said, according to claims that are up on TMZ, it has to do with Ms. Whitman being, in fact, a racist. So, bad news for Meg Whitman.
But you know what? When she's running for office, isn't that a little convenient timing?
I agree. I mean, look,
I'm not on either side. I don't care. I just learn to distrust everything that comes out in a race for office.
I just think that Jerry Brown is paying her whatever it takes for her to say whatever he wants her to say. That's what I think. That's how politics works.
Jerry Brown has Brown in his last name, though.
That's true.
So he's at a massive advantage with La Raza.
That is true.
You know what I'm saying?
They just f***ed with the wrong Mexican.
Tim Brown played that up his entire career with the Raiders. I mean, he was one. You got a Raiders jersey with Brown on the back. It was amazing.
Yeah, pretty good.
Trent Reznor, who I'm being told will be in our studios tomorrow.
He's going to be here tomorrow.
Yeah.
He
let everybody know earlier that... Year Zero, which is a sci-fi epic miniseries based on the 2007 album from Nine Inch Nails, has been greenlit by HBO and BBC, so it looks like they're moving forward with it. He said, quote, "We are in production with HBO and BBC America to do the miniseries. It's been an interesting and very educational process, and it cleared the HBO hurdle a few months ago, and now we're writing drafts back and forth. So it's very much alive and incubating at the moment."
I may be too dumb for Trent Reznor, and I guess I'll prove that tomorrow when I have a conversation with him.
We can hope.
when Year Zero came out and I read all these stories about how it was a, you know, a bleak look at the future in a post-apocalyptic world and governments had broken down and people were fighting for survival, I didn't get any of that from listening to the album. I understand that there was a theme and maybe that's what the, you know, he had in mind when he wrote all the songs and stuff. I just listened to it and thought, hey, those are good songs.
Yeah. Well, welcome to my life.
I think if you're making like industrial rock, like you have, it's pretty hard to just write a sappy love song. Like you got to write about a post-apocalyptic warfare and stuff like that, or else it doesn't really jive well with the music. Or else you're writing 99 Luft Balloons and you're pulling the wool over everybody's eyes because it's like, hey, this is a happy song. Oh my God, it's about war. Speaking of music, Ozzy Osbourne's solo debut album, The Blizzard of Oz, one of my favorites in the history of rock and roll.
Right.
Is that the story, just that you like that record?
No, but it maybe has new meaning now that we know that Ozzy liked to put cocaine on his feet.
This is a weird story.
Ozzy had a huge, huge cocaine problem in the 80s, but he told Britain's Sunday Times magazine that back in the day, back in the heyday of the yayo, he used to like to cure his athlete's foot with cocaine.
Would he get confused between that and the Desinex?
You really do have too much cocaine if that's what you're doing.
Well, yeah. We all heard the story about how he used to snort ants with Motley Crue.
Right.
And I'm thinking that Ozzy just got confused on where to put stuff.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking.
If insects are on the nose and cocaine is on the feet, Ozzy's just got like everything bass backwards, at least back in the day.
Could be.
But how much cocaine do you have that you can just stomp on it like it's wine grapes?
You must have like suitcases full.
Yeah.
I mean, you must just have a room of powder cocaine.
Yeah, it wasn't a cost-effective way of going about curing your athlete's foot. Ozzy said it cost up to $3,000 a toe.
A toe?
Yeah.
Not a day, a toe.
A toe.
Okay.
In Ozzy's defense, he only has like four toes. He lost him in a machine accident with Tony Iommi. The Star Wars movies are going to be made in 3D, blah, blah, blah. And we've done this story a couple times. But I think like there's probably a lot of kids out there who have no idea what Star Wars is.
Right.
Okay? Now, putting them in 3D, I understand, is a great marketing tool because everybody's going to have to go out and see them again. Even people who've already seen them 10,000
times. Just out of curiosity
like,
to see what they can do with
them. Like Bean.
Who saw it 100 times in a movie theater.
Yeah.
In a theater.
Now, are they making a mistake by releasing the first three movies?
Yes.
First. And by first three, I mean the episode 1, 2, and 3, not the first three to come out in... But in
Star Wars
time
was
time.
4, 5, and 6, and then they went back and did 1, 2, and 3.
And what was the first one, being 76?
I think 77.
77.
Mike, if you're saying the reason he wants to do it is to attract a whole new audience to go see those movies, and I'm sure that will be some of it, it makes more sense to show them in order, starting with episode 1. That way you see, you know, the characters grow up and turn into
Luke
Skywalker.
But you don't want to see episode 2 if you see episode 1.
Well, maybe that just kill it, yeah.
Then how come they weren't released that way in real life?
Because George Lucas wanted to tell story number 4 first. By the way, my fear is that George Lucas, who apparently has lost all abilities as a filmmaker, is now going to decide, okay, now I've done everything I can to make money off the first 6. It's time to make episodes 7, 8, and 9. That's what I'm worried about.
But what if they're good?
I have to be honest. I liked the first three, the episode 4, 5, and 6. I liked them plenty. I mean, that's great. I never saw the first three episodes. Are they as bad as you guys make them out to be?
Well, it
depends
on who you
talk to. Are they serviceable as movies?
To me, they weren't as bad, but I'm an easy target.
Bean?
I think you're going to find a wide range. I mean, there are people who hated them. They weren't, you know, technically inept or anything like that. The dialogue just wasn't very good. The stories were just okay, but they were pretty to look at. You know, they definitely had some things in them to recommend, but in general, no, they're not classics. Look, if 4, 5, and 6 had never been made, 1, 2, and 3 would not be revered as a great trilogy of Star Wars movies. That's for sure.
Gotcha.
Jar Binks, I think, a turning point.
They're working on it now, making them into 3D, and you can expect that sometime in 2012. Episode 1 will be hitting in theaters.
So 2 years from now, let me make a note.
Celebrity birthdays. Jerry Lee Lewis, who I was actually invited to his birthday party, which was on Saturday, and I couldn't go.
What?
I know. Sounds crazy, but I can only imagine what goes down at Jerry Lee Lewis's 75th birthday party. But I was too busy crying like a bitch at a wedding.
Wow.
Jill Whelan from The Love Boat.
Yes, I know who that is.
I don't.
44 years old, Lisa May.
She was the young
don't
girl.
Care. I was saying that as a joke. Tom Sizemore is 49, and my radio partner, Dr. Drew, tells me he's doing great.
Wow, Andrew Dice Clay, that's surprising.
52 years old. Andrew Dice Clay used to be one of the biggest stars on the planet, but no longer. Bryant Gumbel, the whitest black man on the planet. He is 62 years old, and that is the Ralph Garman Showbiz Beat.
All right, thank you. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. Tomorrow morning, we have an all-new program. We are going to play our favorite game, Kanye or Diddy.
Oh,
where
I love that.
Read their tweets and try to figure out who said it.
Okay.
As it is impossible to do. We have the aforementioned Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow. We're going to ask him why he's retweeting fake earthquake predictions.
Dr.
Yeah,
Drew,
what's up with that?
Yes, he is. We're also going to talk to all of you that did it yesterday and today. Because tomorrow's the day. They're saying tomorrow's the day. Everybody's going to die.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, you can't really predict earthquakes. And we have Trent Reznor in the studio tomorrow. That's
very
enough
cool.
Right there.
Yeah.
So join us in the 8 o'clock hour for Trent Reznor tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Who's more buff, by the way, Psycho Mike or Trent Reznor?
Trent. By far.
No, let's
really?
We'll put that.
By far.
I'm going to wear
it. Have you
long.
Seen him?
No, he's buff.
Yeah.
He is buff.
We replaced
need to bring
heroin with working out.
He said he has quoted.
Really
he's
did.
Been quoted by saying, I've replaced heroin with black coffee and weights.
Yeah.
So did Mike. What are you talking about?
Yeah,
same thing.
Good news for you.
Sounds like a big show tomorrow here, right here on the Kevin and Bean program. But don't go anywhere. Cat Corbett is up next with 40 minutes nonstop K-Rock music, including the new one from the Dirty Heads. It's called Stand Tall. Also some Incubus, Muse, Blink-182, Stained, and more next on K-Rock.